93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, April 27th, and we go to Kathy Romano at our news desk. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Bill Cosby was convicted Thursday of drugging and molesting a woman in the first big celebrity trial in the Me Too era. 80-year-old Cosby could end up spending his final years in prison after a jury concluded he sexually violated Temple employee Andrea Constan at his suburban Philadelphia home in 2004. He claimed the encounter was consensual.
I did not see this coming.
I immediately,
yesterday, both Kathy and I said yesterday, hung jury probably, mistrial.
Likewise. Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm driving along. What did I just hear?
Yeah.
And I started texting out to you guys. And all the reactions back were like, what? Oh, my God. Because it seemed to be going down that same path again.
Yeah.
Well, and then to come back guilty on all counts.
Since 2 days ago when the jury asked for the definition of consensual that or consent, I thought, oh, here we go again. It's going to be the same thing.
Right.
And then no way. Cosby lashed out at a prosecutor in the Montgomery County courtroom after he was found guilty on the three felony counts of aggravated indecent assault. The outburst came as DA Kevin Steele argued to the judge that Cosby should be taken into custody and his $1 million bail revoked. He said Cosby could use his private plane to flee. He doesn't have a plane, you a-hole. Cosby stood up and shouted at Steele, I'm sick of him, Cosby said.
It's not very Cosby-like language.
Wow.
He does, however, have a hovercraft. A lot of people don't know that.
Judge Stephen T. O'Neill said he did not view Cosby as a flight risk and ruled that he could remain free until his sentencing hearing. He said because of his age and because of his record, you know, showing up in court, he wasn't going to revoke that.
And at that point, Cosby just stood up and said, I can see perfectly well.
Right. He started doing
look, I don't think the guy's a flight risk at his age. His celebrity status, there's no, what's he going to do? You know, I mean, he could leave the state, no problem, but he's not going to, you know, zip off and leave the country.
He's too high profile. Yep. Yeah, it's too much to move him around, too.
Well, Cosby did have to surrender his passport. He will be fitted for a GPS monitor, and he will have to stay at his home in Elkins Park until the sentencing hearing. We have a clip of DA Kevin Steele speaking to the media after the verdict yesterday.
We have shown from our record that money and power, or who you are, will not stop us from a criminal investigation or prosecuting a case. And what was revealed through this investigation was a man who had spent decades preying on women that he drugged and sexually assaulted, and a man who had evaded this moment here today for far too long. He used his celebrity, he used his wealth, he used his network of supporters to help him conceal his crimes.
Wow.
As news stations hit the streets to speak to those who had an opinion, they found people had very mixed reactions. Cosby could face up to 30 years in prison. It's about 5 to 10 years for each count of aggravated indecent assault, but he'll likely receive a lesser sentence.
As I was thinking about this and the ramifications of all this, the thing to me, there's so much horrible going on here. But the thing is, and the question still remains, at his celebrity status, he could have had women who would have agreed to be with him.
He probably did have women that agreed.
So for him, part of the thrill of it appears to be, by all the evidence, the laying a trap, sedating them, and having his way with them.
Yeah.
Well,
and that is so horrific.
Yeah.
That adds the layer on it that makes this so very reprehensible. It's all reprehensible, but you keep defaulting to that question.
Why?
An 80-year-old Bill Cosby could still get what he wants, you know?
But part of his, and it was in the deposition years ago, is what he said was he would offer them these pills, these Quaaludes, and that was equivalent, because he wasn't a big drinker, that was equivalent to saying, here, would you like a drink? Like, he wasn't saying, I was, you know, giving them a date rape drug. I was offering them something that I also took. Like, he was saying it was a popular drug back in that time.
Yeah, he was knowingly, because he did a whole bit about a Spanish fly and all of that stuff, and admitted to all these various things in that deposition.
And he would clearly be, you can tell when somebody's wasted out of their mind.
Exactly.
And he was taking advantage of them in that regard. And
when they're in that state.
Exactly. And he used this to get them to that state to where he could do what he wanted to. And maybe, maybe in the beginning it was just part of the culture, and then he it became a regular thing for him. I don't know.
That's that's what it appears to be. At least as I look at the history of all of these women claiming what they're claiming, that was the scenario that best worked for him. The way Weinstein was a come up and watch me shower in my room. Yeah. That was his deal. Yeah, that was his jollies.
Yep, he had a had a system.
Right.
Yeah.
You think now that this, like, the whole Me Too thing that played a part in this and why he was, you know, there was a mistrial the first time.
I don't think it assisted his case, but I think, Preston, and to that point, there was different stuff allowed to be heard by the jury this time, I think, that made the difference.
Well, and also you figure the jurors who were all from Montgomery County, when they did select them, they had all heard of the Me Too movement and, you know, likely Cosby. So, you know, they may have seen the first trial.
A lot of people at the courtroom said they were recently inspired by one juror. They wouldn't mention his name. They said he was a media personality who did radio. And they said that his...
I was all in on that, too.
They said his... dogged pursuit of justice inspired them. So
I'm like, wait, I haven't heard this juror story thing yet.
They said this beacon of truth.
You know, it's hard to say. And I was thinking about what Nick had mentioned last week was, or maybe it was earlier this week, that the whole Hannibal Buress comedy bit, talking about it on stage, all of a sudden reignited this interest in this thing, and this started to loosen up, you know, these bonds and make it easier for people to talk about. And then women started coming forward. And then
you're exactly right.
Oh, my God.
So, Preston, you're exactly right. I watched the whole segment yesterday. The Hannibal Buress on stage, he's talking about Cosby. And it's not actually recorded all that well. But there were a number of things and a number of elements in time and what had happened in media and the way media is disseminated that had to fall into place. That became viral. Mm-hmm. And when that became viral, women who had had these encounters started to see it and started to pop up in their Facebook pages.
Yeah.
And then they started to think, the day of reckoning is here.
Yeah.
You know, and then other reporters started to ask questions.
Yeah. And safety in numbers.
I mean,
the more that came forward, the more felt safe that they could come forward as well.
And Kathy, you talk about the Me Too campaign influencing. I think this was the beginning of it, to be honest.
It
really was. And then the Weinstein thing happened, and it was like, wait, another one and again, and then it started to.
I think you probably have one
to make women realize
that these guys can't get away with it anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna step up, and I've been embarrassed and scared to talk about this for most of my life, or for however long, for years, and I'm gonna do it.
And in this trial, as opposed to the first one, there were five women who supported Andrea Constan, as opposed to last year, when there was only one. And so there were five corroborating stories.
I think there was
only
one that was able to testify. The others were just in the courtroom, right?
Last year or this time?
This time.
This time was Janice.
There were five.
Dixon.
Five stories.
Yeah.
This time.
Oh, that were on the stand.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Cosby, his sentencing date could be scheduled for the next 60 to 90 days.
By the way, we're going to have Brian Taff from 6ABC stopping by a little bit later on this morning, because they've been obviously covering the story very, very closely. And we'll have him pop in and maybe add some extra information that they may have found out.
With a mellifluous tone.
Of course.
I'll tell you Brian what Taff. Happened, and you will enjoy hearing the information as you have never before.
Of course, that
we
got
to get him to say some things.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, we need an ID from Brian Taft for sure.
I'm Brian Taft. My ass hurts.
Stop, or else he's not going to come on.
All right.
A study conducted by the Center for Disease Control found that autism is increasing in U.S. children, with about 1.7% of 8-year-olds affected in 11 states. The study, based on 2014 research, again identifies New Jersey with the highest incidence. In 34 children in that state, or 3%, fall on what's called the autism spectrum, which encompasses a range of social, behavioral, and learning disorders ranging from barely noticeable to profoundly debilitating. Nationally, the prevalence has increased 150% since 2000, according to the study, which called autism an urgent public health concern. Researchers aren't sure what causes autism, although they suspect environmental risks or triggers. It has no cure. They caution that more children being diagnosed doesn't necessarily mean that autism is becoming more common. They're saying other states are likely underestimating autism. Research from 2012 put the rate at 1.5% among 11 states. The New Jersey percentage at that time was 1.9%. The coyote that was strolling through Philadelphia this week was trapped under a large metal trash bin near a school yesterday. The coyote was spotted along the city's downtown waterfront before police and animal control officers cornered it and trapped it about 3 miles away in South Philadelphia. It was later euthanized. That was the second time in a week, that Philadelphia police have dealt with the coyote. On Monday, they said one was captured and released in a park about 15 miles away from the school. Officials at the Pennsylvania Game Commission think it may have been the same animal because of its behavior and lack of fear of humans.
It was
it's a beautiful animal.
It's
I saw
a beautiful animal. The issue was, Preston, apparently that it had no fear of humans.
Sure.
That it was right around. And as they pulled it away, a truck pulled up and a large Acme rocket pack.
Oh, man.
To help him escape.
Typically, coyotes aren't as visible in urban areas. The animal was euthanized to prevent people, especially children, from confusing the wild animal with the stray dog. All right, in sports this morning.
Wait a minute, hold on.
All right, we got to go back to it.
Did he have a tiny little umbrella that he held up just as a giant rock was about to land?
Yes.
Help. Help. Little sign that says help. Help.
Do you know what makes those... The Roadrunner cartoon so brilliant that they would take the time to sell the physical pain of what all the coyote who just stayed at it and would never demur from it. But when he would go off the cliff and they would show him a la Alan Rickman in Die Hard looking up, and you just get smaller and smaller.
And just a little puff of dust way, hundreds of feet down below.
It was always so good.
Or if he would smile and his teeth were replaced by piano keys. Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding. Do you remember in the Bugs Bunny, his encounters with Bugs Bunny, I'm Wile E. Coyote, a super genius.
Yes.
But the same sort of thing. Always, never worked out for him.
I'm sorry, I had to stick with that imagery for a moment. Now I'm ready.
I get it. All right, let's do sports now. Jared Dyson, Nick Ahmed, and David Peralta all hit home runs in the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Phillies 8-2 yesterday afternoon at the ballpark. Yeah, the Phillies will wrap up their 10-game homestand this weekend with a 3-game series against Atlanta. Aaron Nola will start in the series opener tonight, and game time is at 7:05. The Sixers will have to wait at least one more day before they find out who they play in the next round of the NBA playoffs. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 31 points and 14 rebounds, and the Bucks beat the Boston Celtics 97-86 last night in Milwaukee. Game 7 is tomorrow night at the Garden in Boston. In the NHL playoffs, Patrick Hornquist, Sidney Crosby, and Jake Gensel scored in less than 5 minutes to help the Pittsburgh ease a 2-goal deficit in the third period, and the Penguins erase. What did I say?
Ease.
The Penguins beat the Washington 3-2 in game one of the second round series. Game two is on Sunday in 7-10 Washington.
7-10 hockey puck baseball bat.
In the Western Conference, Marc-Andre Fleury stopped 33 shots in his third shutout of the playoffs, and the Vegas Golden Knights beat the San Jose Sharks 7-0 in game one of their series. The Cleveland Browns surprised the NFL world by making quarterback Baker Mayfield the first overall pick in the draft. The Eagles made the expected move and traded out of the first round of the 2018 NFL draft to acquire more assets. They sent the 32nd overall pick along with the fourth round to the Baltimore Ravens for the Ravens' second round picks in 2018 and 2019 and a fourth rounder this year. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah!
All right.
And that's what I have for you this
morning.
Thank
you very much, Kathy. We're ready to go. It's Friday morning. How about $1,000 in your pocket? That's how you kick off the weekend. Go to the bar and buy a round for everybody after you win with today's birthday bucks competition. So we'll do that at 8 o'clock sharp. Get yourself set for that. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to have Brian Taft stopping by. We'll dive a little deeper into the whole Cosby verdict and find out, they've been there obviously reporting on this the whole time.
Yeah,
and he can maybe give us some of the details that we have questions about. But Brian's stopping by this morning about 8:20. Comedian J.P. Sears will be stopping by for the first time ever on our show. He's going to be performing at Punchline Phil this weekend. So we'll say hello to him. And as we had mentioned, The Philly Fanatic celebrates a birthday with MMR.
Yes!
10 years apart, the Fanatic turns 40 on Sunday. We turn 50 on Sunday. So he's stopping by today, and his buddy John Brazier will be here, too.
Last week, they aired in the syndication spot of the Goldbergs, the episode where he gets lost at the ballpark,
and the
Fanatic is there and appears a couple of times. It's great.
That's cool, man. So he'll be in this morning. We have a hottie cam. I didn't know that.
What?
Wow. Ashley Cummings?
Yes. She is a fan, and she's coming in for Hottie Cam. We're going to meet her for the first time
that.
Today.
Okay. All right. We enjoy that. So she'll be stopping in.
And do you realize that Kathy's like our Hugh Hefner?
You know what? Honestly, she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she is.
Yep. We got to get her a smoking jacket.
And she doesn't need Depends.
We also have a meet and eat today. The Rec Room is stopping by. First Fridays in Phoenixville is taking place, and they are going to bring us some goodies, and we'll do some giveaways and all that good stuff.
There's
so.
A picture of
I saw that.
Ashley
yes.
on the screen.
Thank
there you go.
Ooh,
I'm excited.
Wow. So we have that
it's like
and
a girl next
more.
Door.
We have that and more going on this morning. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we will have the entertainment report with a stupid question included. And we'll start our giveaways there. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Ah.
All right, so stupid question this morning. Going to give away some tickets to see the Phils play on Sunday, taking on the Braves at 1:35. The question I have for you this morning. The Kelly bag, produced by Hermes, is named for whom?
Oh, good the question.
Kelly, yes, the Kelly bag produced by Hermes is named after whom?
It was just in that store the other day.
Do they still have the Kelly bag? Do you
I
know?
Don't know. I'm not sure what the Kelly bag is.
All right,
I was looking at the bracelets.
215-263.
Am I right?
WMMR. Yeah, Steve.
You're
right, Steve. Hey, where is that? Where's the Hermes store?
Where do you think it is?
Well, I know it's in the King of Prussia.
Yeah,
Mall,
in the new part,
in
right?
The new section.
On the, yeah,
new
on the
right next to Shane's Circus World of Values,
the fancy schmancy part of the mall. Birthdays today on Friday, April 27th include Patrick Stump. He's the front man for Fallout Boy. Yeah, they do Uma Thurman, which is
by way of the Munsters. It's almost impossible to explain.
What is the name of that song? Is it Uma
Thurman? I think it's Uma Thurman.
Yeah. And it uses that little clip from the Munsters. That's why we do that. So Patrick is 34 today. Ace Frehley from Kiss is celebrating his 67th birthday today. Yes, guys, when participating in oral with your female partner, just think of this song. Think of Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City!
And she'll be happy. Ace Frehley is a trip, man. He's a goofy guy.
He really is.
And man, does he have that New York accent.
Completely.
Yep.
I told you the story. I think I told you the story years ago when he was in the height of his drug addiction. My brother saw him in a small club in Comac, Long Island, in Preston. He would run off to one side of the stage, take a bump of cocaine, as you said, run to the other side, and take a hit of pure oxygen. You know, and it's like the place was so small, it was completely out in the open.
Wow. Ace is celebrating his 67th birthday today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s, man.
Love the B-52s.
I do, too.
You know what? I listen to the songs "Deadbeat Club,"
great song,
and "Rome," multiple times a week. I love them, and I love the harmonizing in those songs.
And I tell you what, at the end of this song, "Rock Lobster," they go into this jam.
Yeah,
that is just—it's my crank it all the way up in the car and bang on the steering wheel. You know that? It's just—it's awesome. But I remember the first time I ever saw or heard of them. It was on Saturday Night Live, and I'm looking at them going, what the hell is this? It was bizarre. I didn't get it. I thought it was stupid. I didn't understand why this was considered music. And they were playing this song. They were playing Rock Lobster, and I love this song now. But I was just blown away. You know, Fred Schneider, what is he? But I love him. Kate, by the way, is 70 years old today.
Wow. Still can sing.
She's got a great voice. Sheena Easton.
It takes the morning train. He works from night.
And then remember she did with Prince that duet.
Sugar Balls?
No, Sugar Balls was her solo. It was
Vagina Valley?
You've got the look.
Oh,
you got to look sure enough to be cooking in my book.
So she
your
shifted.
Face is jamming. Everybody's head is slamming.
This vibe is good. Let's get to it.
You got to look.
You know, Sugar Walls, I didn't know what Sugar Walls meant.
Yeah.
Until a nun taught us that in my freshman year of high school.
Nun told you what Sugar Walls meant? Yes. How did that conversation start?
I don't necessarily remember. Well, so that's the thing. There was a lesson to be learned there.
Now children are going
to
learn about vaginal references in popular music.
There was a lesson to be learned there, but I don't know what the lesson was. I just remember going, Sugar Balls is a vagina?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's her perjanger.
Her perjanger. Mm-hmm. It's my perjanger.
That's right.
Because she's Scottish.
She's Scottish, yeah.
It's the perjanger's the lady part. It's where the wee winky winky sticks.
Is this Sugar Balls? I would have to go back and look at the... at the lyrics and see how she refers to and what she's saying about her sugar rolls.
Since it's hairy and sweaty.
Oh, my God.
My sugar rolls are very hairy and sweaty.
A lot of poetry. I did not know that. So she is 59 today. William Moseley, who played Peter in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
He's 30. Narnia. He's 31 today. Sally Hawkins, most recently in The Shape of Water. Which won the Oscar for Best Picture?
Did you eventually see it?
I did not. I have it.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's really enchanting, as they say.
Okay,
you know, if
she plays the lead,
Pan's Labyrinth, you know, has a more dour but still beautiful and lyrical. Mm-hmm. This is similar.
Okay, so she is 42, and then Nick just pulled up a birthday that I did not know was today. Frank Abagnale.
Yeah,
not Abagnale, not Abagnale, Abagnale. And he is the character. He's the person that Leonardo DiCaprio portrays in Catch Me If You Can.
How old?
The real deal.
He's the same age as Kate Pearson, which is why I pulled up. They're next to each other on Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's 70 today.
Yeah,
and he's the guy that went around pretending to be all kinds of things, including an airline pilot, and getting away with it for as a kid. He did this.
It's a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
If you want to see another great movie about a similar guy who had that whatever that personality trait that makes him want to do this. A movie called The Great Imposter with Tony Curtis. Same sort of thing where he goes from, he just fakes his way through multiple things throughout his life.
Another movie, similar but more evil, was with Leonardo DiCaprio. Was it Leonardo DiCaprio? Matt Damon. Damn it.
Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah. And he goes on to pretend to be other
people.
Yeah,
that ends much...
Yeah, he's a sociopath
and
a murderer, which is kind of bizarre. But anyway,
Matt Damon.
It's Frank Abagnale's birthday today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And let's see, the Kelly bag produced by Hermes is named after whom? 215-263-WMMR. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Good. Let's
get that hat. Kenny, who was the bag named after, the Kelly bag?
Was it Grace Kelly?
That's right.
Thought it was Bob Kelly.
No, not Bob Kelly. Grace Kelly. Hang on a second, Kenny. We are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see the Phils play the Braves. 135 Sunday, Citizens Bank Park. Happy 40th birthday to the Fanatic, who will be here in our studio this morning. And the 50th birthday to WMMR Kids, 14 and under. Get a free Fanatic bucket hat, and you can get tickets at Phillies.com.
Nice.
By the way. And Grace Kelly, yeah, Kelly Drive, named after Grace Kelly, by the way.
No. John Kelly.
John Kelly.
Her father.
Her dad.
Kelly. Oh!
But somewhere in relation.
Shore's Lane, is named after Abraham Lincoln.
Oh. That's correct, yes.
Sure is.
A lot of times you don't get the connection. So clearly the number one story is Bill Cosby being found guilty on all counts. of aggravated indecent assault. We're going to expand a little bit more on that later. We're going to have Brian Taft stopping in this morning from 6ABC to give us a little bit more on it. But one of the big things that people are pointing out is that he stood up, and as they read the verdicts, he had an outburst and referred to the district attorney, Kevin Steele, as an a-hole.
Because he suggested Cosby would be a flight risk because he said he had his own plane.
Yeah, and Cosby said he doesn't have a plane, you a-hole.
Speaking about himself in the third person.
Yeah, and he said that shows what you know.
And Kevin Steele is the one that headed all of this up.
Sure, absolutely. So Cosby was ordered to surrender his passport and stay in Montgomery County until his sentencing date, which was not set as of yet. The jury, by the way, deliberated for 14 hours. 7 men and 5 women sat on the jury. The judge ruled that their identity would remain anonymous.
Isn't it wild to think that in the year 2018, both Birdbot and Cosby have GPS tracking on them?
It is amazing. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Amy Schumer is opening up to Oprah Winfrey about what she characterizes as a gray area rape. She says the incident occurred with an ex-boyfriend of hers. She said, you think when that happens, you say, okay, well, this isn't someone that I want to see rotting in a jail cell, but what he did to me was wrong. She said this on Oprah's Super Soul Conversations. She said, I didn't consent, and for me, I lost my virginity while I was asleep, and that's not okay.
So Oh, man.
Yeah. Schumer had previously alluded to the incident during stand-up routines, saying lines along the lines of, if she's asleep, that's a no. She has said that before in her stand-up show.
Oh, my God.
She explains that when she realized what was happening, she didn't know what to think. So the first thing he said was, I thought you knew. And I didn't say anything yet. He was my boyfriend. I loved him. She said, I had to comfort him. I also felt really angry. It was just a feeling I had. I felt really angry at him, and it's a rage that has stayed with me. I don't think you lose that. As women, we're really trained not to get angry because that makes people dismiss you right away, but I felt that I wanted to comfort him because he felt so bad and he was so worried, just tried to push my anger down, she said. She adds that she stayed with him, and they eventually had consensual sex at some point in their relationship. So it's
wild.
Like
yeah.
you said, it's a gray area.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
I think she actually believe it or not, I'm not kidding. I think she calls it like a grape or she has a
grape. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So she's opening up a little bit more about that. John Cena is opening up the floodgates when asked what it was like to call off his engagement to Nikki Bella. The actor and wrestler told Entertainment Weekly that, quite frankly, it sucks. He said, there's no other way to say it. This was on the red carpet at CinemaCon, by the way. He said, I love Nicole with all my heart, and that's that.
That's the truth.
The pair announced their separation on April 15th. Sources told People that Bella ended it because she didn't need a pity husband.
Yeah.
The source said he was making it abundantly clear that he was going into this, gritting his teeth the whole way. Nikki is an amazing, talented, strong, one-of-a-kind woman. Anyone would be lucky to have her in their life, yet John acted more and more like he was doing her a favor by somehow conceding to go ahead and marry her.
Now, the word is he gave her a 50-page contract, like an agreement, like a
prenup type
of thing. Yeah, prenup. You need to agree to these terms before we move forward. And she was like, what?
Yeah. But apparently he wasn't big on marriage.
And, no. And he and kids. Does not want kids, and she does.
Yeah, and that can be a problem.
Yeah.
Cena previously opened up about their split on Twitter, saying, sometimes we must bear the burden of shame and judgment to protect and give to the ones we love.
I think that'd be a hell of a thing. Now, they hadn't gone that far into the engagement where it was just off
the charts.
They
broke up.
They broke up, yeah. But, I mean, if you get engaged, you go through that whole thing. They did it in the ring during a wrestling match, the proposal. And then you have to say, nah, on second thought.
Yeah. Oh, man, when people do the big in public proposal. I remember one night I was at a nightclub, and one of the bouncers wanted to propose to one of the servers that worked there. And wanted me to announce it and everything, so I do it. And he comes up and gets down on one knee. The crowd's going crazy and everything. And I go back to one of the bartenders. They go, oh, no. They're like, there's no way this is going to work out.
Really?
Yeah. They were just like, you know.
Did
like,
she say yes?
Yeah. But this grand proposal in front of everybody.
Right. I love you.
Right. Exactly. Was kind of like the, I really mean it. You know what I mean?
I want to be in front of my coworkers and friends.
But everybody that worked
love
there,
you.
Everybody that worked there was like,
No, yeah.
Yeah, this ain't happening.
Well, with Facebook, you can check in on this. Do you remember anybody's name?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if they're still together.
I may look. All right, we'll see. I'm pretty sure.
Or do you want the illusion of love to continue?
No, I'm pretty sure that it ended. Didn't end up happening. Okay.
In fact, it ended later on that night.
So, we will see if he continues to talk about that. Nick just pulled. Is this breaking
news?
It's breaking news. Wow. What?
Okay, I did not know.
Breaking news.
Oh,
breaking
boy. News. Hang on a second here. Mm-hmm. Prince William and Kate Middleton reveal the royal baby's name.
Ooh. Oh!
There have been odds makers that were saying that it may have been, I think,
Alexander was one.
Alexander was one. And
Arthur was in there?
Yeah, I think
Mildred.
So. What's that?
Fred was in there?
Fred, you're right. Fred was. You're right. So they've revealed the name for the baby boy. And here's the official announcement. The Kensington Palace statement.
Oh, boy.
Said the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are delighted to announce that they have named their son Louis Arthur Charles.
Yeah! Oh, it's cute. I like it.
Yeah.
Prince Louis.
Louis is not bad. Yeah. I like that. Louis.
Prince Lou.
Louis, which means...
Louis
Lou! Now we have that.
Louis, which means renowned warrior in French. Never knew that. Is likely a tribute to Prince Philip, whose grandfather was Prince Louis Alexander of Battenberg. Louis is also part of Prince William's full name of William Arthur Philip Louis and Prince George's full name of George Alexander Louis. And it also has great meaning to William's own father, Prince Charles, whose beloved great uncle and mentor, Earl Louis Mountbatten.
Earl Louis Mountbatten.
Was assassinated by the IRA in 1979.
By the IRS, failure to pay back taxes. We lost him in a revenue dispute.
No, the IRA, not the IRS.
It's interesting, though, so because that's an American organization. Caused quite a rift.
These kind of things, and people saying, why does it take so long for them to pick a name? It's because they have to have considerations like this. Yeah. Which members of the family are they going to compliment, and which are they going to pay tribute to?
Yeah. So the Charles part, so it's Louis.
They didn't go with milksteak.
Louis Arthur Charles. Charles is obviously for the grandfather, Prince Charles.
Right. And the chips company.
And the name Arthur is a family tradition. Both Dad William and Grandfather Charles have it as a middle name. Arthur was also the name of Queen Victoria's third son and seventh child and was said to be her favorite
There's
child.
So many. Like, think of the names like Excalibur, the Knights of the Round Table. You know, those are some cool-ass names.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Arthur.
Lou.
Yeah.
Lou.
Donnie.
So anyhow, they got a name. There you go. Between her attempts to hawk Girl Scout cookies at grocery stores, her faux cooking shows, and her montages on chickens, Jennifer Garner is definitely one to share some fun behind-the-scenes motherhood moments. But the one thing she'll never do is share actual images of the three kids that she shares with ex Ben Affleck, Samuel, Serafina, and Violet.
She won't let them be photographed?
Yeah, she said, she won't share them. She said, okay. I would never share my kids. She said, that's a pretty big roadblock right there. I've fought hard for their privacy, personally. That it feels a bit weird.
Do you know what's good to do? And Michael Jackson did it. Just have them wear Mardi Gras masks when they go out.
But still, she admits she loves seeing photos of other people's kids. You can see her next on the big screen in Peppermint, where she seeks revenge after her husband and daughter are murdered. So that opens in September.
Yeah, it's still an issue on social media for some people. Rob and Caitlin McElhenney, they do not post the faces of their children. They'll put photos up on Instagram and social media and whatever, but you won't be able to see their faces. And it's to protect their privacy.
Yeah, I can understand that. They didn't sign up for it.
The kids did not ask for it. Yeah.
Actress Samia Shoaib, I'm not really sure. She recently was interviewed about how Smallville alum Allison Mack tried to recruit her into a sex cult. Of course, NXIVM, which we've talked about.
Yes.
She had said that she met Mack in 2013 when they both auditioned for the same TV pilot. And the pair exchanged email addresses. And over time, Mack apparently love-bombed her, she claims. Love-bombing has been described by cult expert Rick Ross as a tactic to recruit new members by reinforcing the need to belong through use of childlike games, singing, hugging, touching, or flattery.
That's what years ago when they had the Reverend Moonies. Sun Young-moon. Yeah, that was their big tactic, apparently, love bombing.
Shoaib said she was mirroring me. I would say, I'm very interested in feminism. And she'd say, oh, me too. I said, I'm from Pakistan. She said, I love other cultures. Tell me more. Looking back, it was a very contrived effort, but at the time, she seemed so sincere. While trying to woo her, Shoaib said that she put me on the phone with a guy named Edgar who spouted all this self-help stuff. Shoaib said that she had no doubt that Mac was recruiting her. It was clear that she was pumping up her feminist interest to lure me in. I was very heartened that this woman was looking to do something positive, but I'm angry she used feminism towards such nefarious ends.
It's pretty wild, man. So I think they're doing maybe 2020 this Friday night. Preston is examining the cult. And tonight. Is it tonight?
Well, tonight's Friday.
Oh, God. All right. Jesus. You're right. So tonight, if you do a little checking, and they're going to go into this cult and the ramifications of what's going on with her, what they're looking at jail time-wise, all that stuff.
Yeah, the U.S. Attorney's Office made a statement about NXIVM saying it operated like a pyramid scheme with female slaves or subordinate to masters.
But it does take care of reflux.
And in fact, I take it every day. The statement goes on to claim that Mac directly or implicitly required two women to engage in sexual activity with Rainier, the head of the whole thing. And in exchange for this, she received financial and other benefits from him. So they're saying that she was scouting chicks to be with him, and he would give her money for that.
But she was a working actress. She was on a hit show for the CW.
Well, she was either.
And while she's just loony, is what it is.
She was seduced by this guy, and whatever his bizarre message is. And
you remember the video I sent over? She's sitting there like she's in love, like a high school girl talking to this guy who's the head of the cult. And just buying all of this straight up crap he's talking about.
That doesn't even, there's no resolution to what he's saying.
It's just gobbledygook.
Flowery language. She's currently out on $5 million bail, faces up to life in prison if she is convicted.
So her mother, right? So you got this loony daughter now. The mother had to put their house, everything up. So that they could get the money to get her out of jail.
Yeah.
And what's the deal with the guy? With what charges are being levied against him?
You know what? I don't know the exact charges, but he's being held as well. Okay. So, yeah. Meanwhile, production company Annapurna is already developing a script on the story of this cult.
Wow.
And Westwood star Shannon Woodard is on board.
Woodard. Every time.
I know. Did I just say Woodard?
Hey, Allison Mack is on the phone.
Yeah. He's coming over on Sunday.
It's funny. I heard Nick say Wooder the other day.
Did I really?
And yes, you did.
On air or off air?
Off air.
Okay.
Off air. But, like, I think all of us work really, really hard to not say it.
Yeah.
But when I heard you say it, I was like, oh, my God, you just said Wooder.
That's funny.
Hey, by the way, SNL's Weekend Update co-anchors and co-head writers, Michael Che and Colin Jost, are set to host this year's Emmy Awards.
Interesting.
Yeah. SNL honcho Lauren Michaels will executive produce, and the show will include surprise appearances by other cast members of Saturday Night Live. So since Lauren Michaels is on board, a lot of SNL is going to be involved.
I would imagine. I wonder if Jost is going to bring his girlfriend, Scarlett Johansson.
Ooh, we can only hope so. On her latest Goop podcast, Gwyneth Paltrow interviews her mom, Blythe Danner.
I love Blythe Danner.
And things got all goopy really fast.
Well, she's older. Not everything is hanging on the way it used to.
When she urged the 75-year-old to open a Tinder account, Danner said, no, I have no interest, really. I don't. If I got my heart broken, I'd probably jump off the railing. The 45-year-old had another idea, though. Gwenny said, I can also go to goop.com and get a vibrator.
There you go. Do you press? Casey.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your name. older women, Blythe Danner, does she work for you?
She does.
Yeah.
She does. I don't know how old she is. I don't know if she fits the...
75.
75.
All right. Yep. She's in there.
She's in the zone.
In there
she's
like in the booty zone. Hair.
She said, thanks very much. This is Blythe Danner, but no thanks. Danner was married to Paltrow's father, of course, the director Bruce Paltrow, from 1969 till his death in 2002.
I mean, my two faves right now are Anne Margaret. I think she's still in that wheelhouse.
Anne Margaret's always been one of my absolute favorites.
There's that movie, Going in Style.
Yes.
It's been on HBO the last couple of months. She's in that. Not enough. And then who's the other one? She was in Red.
Diane Keaton?
No. Red.
Oh, you're talking Reds. I was thinking of
what's Red?
Oh, Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. Oh, yeah. God, I love her.
Helen Mirren's pretty sexy for an older woman.
What about Meryl Streep?
Yes.
Okay.
I've liked her for a long time.
Okay, that was an easy one.
So here's the and oh God, I'm going to sound so creepy here. And I hope it's not a body double, but in Bridges to Madison County, there's like side boob action in that movie with Meryl Streep. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I do. I do sort of remember that. My guess is she might use a body double at her level. I don't know.
I've never seen Bridges of Madison County, but apparently I have to now because there's side boob in it.
Well, it's just wait for her. There's a movie coming out this year that she's in called Knocked Up and Milky. So
that's not true. But Preston, I think Mr. Skin would classify it technically as a swinger.
A swinger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 34-year-old Chris Hemsworth told Ellen DeGeneres Thursday that he has a distinct disadvantage at home since he's the only non-Spanish speaker. His wife, Elsa Patak, a daughter, India Rose, who is 6, and twins, Tristan and Sasha, who are 4, are fluent. He said, I would think it would be easy to learn because your wife speaks Spanish and she would help you. And he said, you think, but not so. And when Patak really gets mad, he has no clue what she's saying. So when I hear the Spanish directed at me, it's usually unfortunate, conversational, aggressive situations.
Yeah, and maybe so she likes to keep it that way so she has a secret language to share with the kids.
He said, so I'm just thinking, what is she saying right now and what's my comeback to this? So whenever they get into it, she throws some Spanish at him. Let's see here. Jodi Kantor and Megan Twohy. Is that how you say that?
Twohy?
Twohy, I guess. T-W-O-H-E-Y?
Yeah.
The Pulitzer Prize-winning reporters who broke the Harvey Weinstein sexual misconduct expose in the New York Times will be getting the spotlight treatment. A couple of production companies have snagged rights to a behind-the-scenes look at their work.
Okay, so they're going to make a docudrama?
I guess so. I think that's what it is. But they're gonna delve a little bit more into the story gathering part of that.
I think they should let it play out a little bit too, so you can have a resolution to the story.
There's a ways to go.
Yeah,
on this.
A long ways.
Yeah. The Met Gala is the fashion moment of the year, and Busy Phillips wanted an invite. When none was forthcoming, she took to Twitter, writing, I don't understand why I'm not invited to the Met Ball. I effing love fancy dress and a party and raising money for good things. Really?
Why wasn't I invited?
Her fans chimed in. One wrote, you deserve it.
Girl.
Your Instagram stories deserve it.
Oh my God. For real. Seriously? That's what it said?
Yeah. It did. But another had a novel solution that said, be Michelle Williams plus one and slay on the red carpet and
slay.
Dance floor.
Slay
all day, friend.
Go slay, girl.
I think even their plus ones get screened.
What do you mean? Oh, whether or not they
I don't think you can just bring anybody.
Yeah, probably.
This is my first time to the gala.
Exactly the reason.
You're in Philly, come by my house. The plot of Ocean's 8 is that the ladies robbed the Met Gala.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Is Helen Mirren in that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Sandra Bullock.
Even among celebrities, the Met Gala is known to be the most pompous of the events.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, there's a lot of great ladies in this movie. Sandra Bullock, as you had mentioned, Helena Bonham Carter, Sarah Paulson, Jamie King, Katie Holmes, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna. And Kylie Jenner?
I think she plays herself.
Got to be playing herself.
She plays a doorstop.
Paramount is greenlighting a sequel to A Quiet Place. The horror film.
That is Your Honor, I present the sequel
I can't read today. That has earned more than $213 million at the box office to date.
I am dying to see this movie, Preston, but I have to either see it. I might go you go on the weekends to the earliest screening because the theater has to be absolutely silent, I think, for it to be effective.
Yeah, I think for you now would be the time. I mean, it's because it's been out for
the show's
weeks
on right now.
Yeah, see you later, Steve.
Okay,
guys, I got this.
It's been out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let the crowd diminish.
John Krasinski, of course, directed the high concept screamer and starred in it alongside his wife, Emily Blunt. He said, head of the studio said, if you told me 5 years ago that an almost silent film starring the very funny guy Jim from The Office would have been a hit at Paramount, I would have said, well, I should go work at Paramount.
Good for him because He also wrote it. He also co-wrote it and directed it.
Yeah, and it cost $17 million to make and swept the box office. So it's going to – and it beat out, you know, Rampage, which was a high-budget movie.
Right.
So –
that's the key. Like, Get Out. Low budget, high concept that catches the attention. Like The Purge. Yeah. Those movies, those are the ones – if you're a filmmaker, that's what you're looking to do.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story. Tom Cruise brought death-defying action to CinemaCon, where he was promoting Mission Impossible Fallout, the sixth installation in the franchise. He detailed the skydiving scene that required 106 takes to complete and an oxygen mask.
He did like a high-altitude jump?
Yeah, the height meant that he needed the extra O2, so he, you know... He said we had to decide how much we could do that is physically possible without killing Tom. This is according to the director, Christopher McQuarrie. He said one of the requests that Tom made was that he not catch on fire. The only place they could find to shoot the jump, which had to be from 25 to 35,000 feet. That's way up there, man.
A 35,000-foot jump.
Was the United Arab Emirates. He said, we wouldn't have been allowed to do this anywhere else. Cruise said they were very helpful.
Wasn't it Dubai where he did the skyscraper hanging scene?
He did Burj Dubai on the outside of it.
Wow. So a halo jump, what altitude... does it become one of those real halo jump, a high altitude?
I don't know. I my skydiving experience, I did it from 13,000 feet. Marissa probably did it somewhere similar in there. Here we go, Steve. It says the halo troops jump from altitudes between 15,000 and 35,000.
So that's what he's doing.
So 35,000 feet. That's cruising altitude for your jet airliner.
For a jet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Mount Everest is at 29,000. Plus.
Wow.
And then there's no oxygen up there.
Do you remember the footage of the guy? I think he did it. It was Red Bull put up the money for it, but actually took, it was like a series of weather balloons that brought him up to the edge of space.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was Felix Baumgartner or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, what was wild was how quickly he left the picture.
Yeah.
You know, he had the camera shooting down.
Right.
And he just disappears.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom Cruise... you know, nutty with all the Scientology stuff, but you got to hand it to him. When it comes to going all out for movies, dude backs it up, man.
He does, and he picks good movies, or at least movies. Even the Mummy, which is a little bit of a misstep, was sort of fun.
Yeah. So Angela Bassett, Alec Baldwin, and the woman I fell in love with when she was here, Rebecca Ferguson, are in Fallout, and they set to open that on July 27th.
When is that follow-up to... Edge of 17.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of 17.
The Stevie Nicks song.
Just like the wild wind. There's a movie called Edge of 17, too, with Haley Steinfeld.
Mm-hmm. But anyhow, Edge of Tomorrow. I don't know. It's they're supposedly doing it, him and Emily Blunt.
Well,
right?
Emily Blunt's just, you know, A Quiet Place and all that stuff. She's in that as well. So the career's on. I really enjoyed that movie. I could actually see a sequel to Oblivion, too.
Nick is looking. He sees nothing on the
nothing.
But look at the crap that's at the top of the list.
Top Gun Man.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Now that could be fun, though.
I know.
You know who is a massive fan because he's such a fan of jets. Of Top Gun has, and I got him a movie poster for Christmas. Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Massive fan.
He's an aviation fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're into jets, that movie is a love letter to the fighter jets.
All right, let's do clips, gang. Life Sentence follows Stella Abbott. Life? What?
Who?
Is that her name? Stella Abbott Life?
What?
All right, anyhow.
Stella Abbott Life. Life
Stella is not... Abbott's Life.
Oh. This is...
There's no S.
Okay. Life Sentence follows Stella Abbott's life after she finds out her... It's not on there. There's no...
I know. They write these things so horribly.
After her terminal cancer has miraculously been cured. Here's star Lucy Hale. Tells gives us a better idea of what to expect from the show. I'm just going to read these verbatim.
Yeah, please, verbatim.
All right, here we go.
Now, it's about a girl who thought that she was going to die and gets a second chance at life and has to figure out, she has no idea who she is, so she has to figure out, you know, what her dreams are, if she's really in love with her husband, and she has to live with all these decisions that she made when she was living like she was dying.
Could you shut up?
Where do I know Lucy Hale from? Anybody know?
I know that she's pretty attractive.
She looks familiar. She's in Scream 4, Pretty Little Liars, Truth or Dare, Bionic Woman. I don't know who she is.
Clearly right in your wheelhouse there. Every one of those.
Life Sentence on the CW tonight at 9. Let's do the next clip. It has been a huge year for the Marvel franchise, and it's about to get even better with Avengers Infinity War taking over the box office. In this clip, Star-Lord Chris Pratt expands on what he likes and dislikes about his costume. There we go.
You know, I really love my long jacket. When I get to wear that long jacket, it's really cool. It's leather. It moves. It kind of like the first time I ever wore it was the first time I felt like I was the character. So that jacket is pretty good. But my least favorite is that helmet.
Yeah!
Avengers Infinity War hits theaters today. In fact, they were doing screenings late last night.
And, God, so I think the first day's box office already has it on track for a record take.
I have my tickets reserved for Sunday.
Okay, then I'm looking forward to Monday so that we can talk about it. Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm definitely going. The whole family wants to go. Even my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, just turned 11 yesterday. One of her birthday presents, she says, I want to go see the Avengers movie, so we're going to take her.
And just quickly, the Guardians, all these different groups with different tones and the whole thing, they all blend together so well.
Excellent.
And within seconds, you're like, You totally forget. These are different, entirely different franchises mixed together and just doing very cool stuff.
Can we talk about it a little bit on air on Monday, or do we have to wait? Like,
we can talk a little bit about your reaction, but we have to still remain spoiler-free because this is going to be... There are going to be a lot of people seeing this movie. We want them to experience every bit of it brand new on stage.
Hang on a second here. This text came over. It says, hey, Steve, this morning on 6ABC, Tamela Edwards kind of gave Avengers a thumbs down. She only rated it 3 out of 5.
Listen.
Didn't think it was that well done.
I saw Tamla at the screening, and I now regret not going over and slapping her.
Oh, wow.
I love her to death. She's a wonderful woman. But I think her problem with it was what I think they did brilliantly. She said it was nonstop action. I contend this is nonstop action that still has heart, still has impact, and still has enough time for character development and character relationships. I get bored by constant action. Mm-hmm. This movie manages to do it for 2.5 hours, and you never feel bored. You're always engaged.
Maybe she hasn't seen all the movies. I don't know.
She's actually a big genre fan. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, listen, we got to take a break. We have a friend of hers from our coworker, 6ABC Brian Taft, will be here. We'll talk more about the Cosby verdict from yesterday. We have comedian J.P. Sears stopping by and a bunch of other things. The Fanatic will be here. His birthday is on Sunday.
Yeah!
So is MMR's. We have special programming this weekend. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The f***?
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So, you know what? I have some stories that I've had sitting in my pile of stuff for a little while, and I need to get them out. I got to air them out a little bit.
All right. So
we're going to clean out the junk drawer this morning. We'll start with one that actually is very fresh. Let me dig in here and get it. And in fact, Kathy had mentioned it just a little while ago. There was a coyote that was running loose in Philadelphia. Was this yesterday, I think?
Yeah, it was yesterday, and then earlier this week, I think on Monday, they captured it first. They believe it was the same one. They released it, I guess, into a park about, I think they said, 10 or 15 miles away.
They released it into a daycare is what they did.
Oh, they did?
And then they realized that was a mistake.
Well, it was near a school, so they wanted to kind of get it far away, and then it ended up in the city again. They captured it and unfortunately had to euthanize it.
What was probably happening, they sometimes if they know that there's a food source, they'll keep returning to it. And then the same thing happened with the bear population, and you've been out in parks, and they start going to where the people are. That could be an issue.
Yep, and that's why you don't want to feed wild animals, because they keep coming back around and they get into where they're not supposed
to be. All
right,
can I admit something?
Yeah.
I fed the giraffes at the Elmwood Park.
They're not wild animals.
Oh.
Well, I mean, they're in captivity, so you're okay like that.
They're domestic.
We're watching video footage. He ended up in the coyote ended up in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And the officers had to try to surround him, but he was able to escape and get away, and they eventually got him.
You're right. And by the way, it's a beautiful looking animal.
Gorgeous.
It really is. And I did not realize that the northeastern coyote is bigger than the western coyote.
You know what, Steve? I had thought when I saw the video footage, I'm like, that thing's big. He looks more wolf-sized.
Yes, he does.
Than coyotes, because coyotes, I think, is kind of,
little piece
gangly,
of crap.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But they this they're fairly sizable out here.
Absolutely, yeah.
My friend lives out in Upper Black Eddy, which is out in Bucks County, pretty far. And they basically live in farm area, and they have those all the time. Like, they see them all the time.
Did you have any idea prior to... I think the first time I realized we had them in the area was, I think, Nick Valley Forge.
I was hiking last summer. Yeah, and there was one that I encountered. I'd never seen one in Valley Forge before.
Hi, Nick.
That's where I grew up. He's a big fan. He's a podcaster because he's nocturnal.
First time, long time.
But... I've seen them out west quite a bit, and I used to think that they didn't exist in the east at all. And we talked about them years ago, and there's apparently they get spotted occasionally down in the Hines Wildlife Refuge near the airport.
So, it's a fairly healthy population.
Yeah, so but this sucks that they had to euthanize it. Yeah, I can't believe they couldn't relocate it.
I first started hearing about that we had coyotes a few years ago. A friend of mine's a hunter, and he said while he's out, you know, deer hunting and so forth, you can take or listen. This is what he told me. I guess it depends on the season, but you can kill coyotes if you see them. They're considered not invasive, but they're kind of a, I don't know, there's a reason they want to get rid of them, but you can get, not sensual, but there's a reason they want to get rid of them. They're a pest of some sort.
I think so. That's probably about right.
First the goose eggs, and now this.
Now this.
I know, right? What a week. What's
happening here?
All right, well, let's find something else better to talk about. Avengers Infinity War obviously opens this weekend, and if you've ever had a thing for Thor's hammer, you can steer towards the bedroom with it. Australian-based sex toy company Geeky Toys, who are known for awakening forces with their sexy Star Wars line, have put their skills for eroticizing pop culture to the test once again with they call it the Indulgers instead of the Avengers.
They have a Molinar for sexual purposes.
Oh yeah, yeah. The handle of Molinar is it's phallic shaped.
Okay, because the actual hammer itself would rip you apart.
Oh, yeah, and there's a gauntlet.
Yep,
that's a big fist.
That is exactly it.
Holy crap!
And Black Widow's.
This is going to be uncomfortable.
There's Black Widow's Agent Gets Me Off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is
very clever.
Which is a I guess like a fleshlight type of thing. And then you have the arrow shaped hawk ass. Which is meant for, that part of your body.
Yeah.
There's an Iron Man, it looks like, I think it's a butt plug, which has the Iron Man, you know, arc reactor.
Arc reactor in your butt.
Did anyone notice the Hulk there on the left-hand side?
That's a Hulk, all right.
It's just a Hulk penis.
Yeah.
No creativity there, it's just a green penis.
that's called the Incredible Dong.
Okay.
It's not even that good.
So these are things that you can get. It's a 7-piece collection.
Let me ask you guys, would you go for the Captain America butt plug or the Iron Man butt plug?
Ooh. I'm going to have to say that the Captain America butt plug looks less invasive.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also don't want that. Kathy agrees. Also, you'd have to explain that blue light glowing from your pants.
Right.
If you have.
Oh, that's just my Captain. That's my Iron Man butt plug.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I'll see you in the conference room in a half hour. Please remove that.
Wow.
Wait, what's the fist? Who is that?
You know what? Is that
that's the gauntlet?
The Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah, I think that's. It should be Thanos, right? Shouldn't it be?
Thanos.
Yes. Thanos! How come they couldn't?
Oh,
right? And the Incredible Bulk would have been for the...
They call that the Incredible Dong, but you're right. The Incredible Bulk would probably
Thanos.
Be better.
There. Do I have to design all the Australian sex toys based on Avengers?
Steve, listen, I would never use one of these, but I would love to have this collection and display it, not unlike you do with your action figures. That would look pretty awesome.
I would do it.
Wow.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think, honestly, this makes a great graduation gift.
Wow. It's called the Indulgers Pleasure War. So that's available now. And the name of the company is Geeky Toys.
You know what occurs to me, Preston, is that we have been out of the... Thanks to the internet and the clip environment we live in, the days of actually seeing the titles of movies is not as common as it used to be. You know, the parody porn titles. Well,
they don't make... movies per se anymore. They do what's called Gonzo.
Yeah.
Or they do what are, you know...
Bert and Ernie.
No, they do situational things. They'll do role-playing.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it. So, the movie
and
the parody really doesn't... There are some that still exist out there.
And in the adult film industry, friends have told us, those movies that had a clever riff would sell very well.
Yeah, but what you don't have are awesome titles like Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Yes.
Anymore. You don't get those anymore.
Forrest Hump.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And I miss those days.
Or Thanos.
Let me go to another story in the junk drawer.
the hell was that?
How about this one? Did you guys, well, we were talking about anuses. Let's talk about your anus.
All right.
The planet.
Now, is it pronounced Uranus? Okay, the actual correct pronunciation is Uranus, but everyone
I think
I know
went back.
Are they back to Uranus?
Because that's at least that's what they're teaching in my school, our schools.
Well,
you have a school?
Apparently, following some very serious informed speculation, scientists have directly observed a molecule in the planet's deep atmosphere that confirms that Uranus stinks.
Yeah,
and it stinks bad. It stinks like
methane,
rotten egg fart.
Okay.
Is what they call it.
Like
yes.
Yellowstone.
Sulfur.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not sulfur. It's, what is the, it might, there might be, I'm sure there's sulfur in it. So it adds another piece of information about the planets and how they form. Uranus and Neptune formed in a colder part of the solar nebula, the early stage of our solar system, when it was just our young sun and lots of dust, and then Jupiter and Saturn. Scientists have long assumed that the cloud tops near the giant green planet's surface contain hydrogen sulfide and ammonia.
All right.
But that hypothesis has been based on inference rather than direct observation. Scientists figured these molecules were there based on an unexplained absence of certain wavelengths of light. It's like guessing something's identity based on a warped version of the shadow it casts without really looking at it.
That's a lot of how this information is gleaned in the universe. What's not there...
Yeah.
Tells you what it is.
The team peered deeper into Uranus and below the part that we might call its surface. I know, I did that on purpose. Using the Gemini North's near-infrared integral field spectrometer in Hawaii.
Oh, that old thing.
They report that they've directly detected the molecule.
And the one that they say results in the horrible smell.
Yeah, and the we used to call it the egg salad.
Fine. Right. Yeah.
Ice. They found it as ice in its cloud tops. They measured more hydrogen sulfide than ammonia, and also the exact concentration of hydrogen sulfide required to produce a rotten egg fart smell. So they published the paper in Nature Astronomy.
If you live there, though, that would be... Your
that'd be your norm.
Like,
so it would stink here.
Yeah.
To
you people,
a Uranian.
So that's pretty wild.
Now they confirmed that visiting astronauts would notice the stench as they descended into the planet's atmosphere.
Roll the windows up.
Things would get more dangerous once they got below the hydrogen sulfide cloud deck, where they'd experience the coldest atmosphere in the solar system and probably die.
Are you not perpetually fascinated by all these planets?
I'm blown away by the gas giants and the fact that they're not solid.
Saturn, for example. Saturn apparently would float.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Did you see the footage that I sent over? They have footage that they took from a satellite that they fired at a comet.
I saw that.
Can you believe that?
It's unbelievable.
You guys, if you guys can put that up, take a look at this. This is... footage that was taken from a comet moving through space.
Yeah. And it looks like you're on the surface of the comet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, look.
This is it. These are photos that we're showing here. They're photos that were put together and they're timed out to where they've animated them. They've put them one after another. And that cliff there is thousands of feet tall, Casey.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And those are stars moving in the background. The streaks are cosmic rays.
Yeah.
So it's
affecting the film.
Yeah. But those things in the background are stars moving by. It's incredible.
Does that not blow your mind?
It's incredible.
Kathy can't stop texting.
I know. But the thing is, it's real. That's the deal.
That's it.
Kath has a hard time wrapping her mind around that. I think that's real. It's actually we sent something there, and this is what. That thing that we see millions of miles in the distance looks like up close.
Hurtling through space. It actually looks like a snowstorm in Utah.
What, to be honest, if you watch Game of Thrones, it looks like the wall.
There you go.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does.
It looks like the wall.
Do you think that's where they film it?
Maybe they... Dude, they got a big enough budget.
The budget is huge.
They could get out there.
Look at that goddamn comet again.
So anyway, Uranus stinks. I just thought I'd let you know. Let's go to the next...
And your pee hole's nothing to laugh at either.
Let's go into this... junk tour and find something else. So posting photos of beautiful destinations on social media is quite popular. But if you really want to remember your trip, here's what the experts say you should do. You should try drawing the place.
Oh, come on.
Rather than simply taking a photo.
I saw this article and I busted out laughing. Can you imagine? Oh, so, okay, so, Kath, you have a paper there?
Yeah, what do you want me to draw?
Draw the most impressive sunset or thing that you saw on a trip, something that really wowed you to the best of your ability.
All right.
Oxford University researchers studied 2,000 adults and found more than 50% suffer from digital amnesia, or they forget things because they rely on smartphones or other devices to store memories for them.
I find that photographs do a better job of capturing what something looks like
also
than my sketches.
When you take a photo, only the sense of sight is typically simulated.
And you can lick a drawing.
You get to taste it. Drawing, on the other hand, activates up to 3+ senses: sight, touch, sound, and
your perception of boredom.
Proprioception. I've never heard of that.
Pripyat.
Proprioception.
Propofol. That's what Michael Jackson was using before he died.
I don't remember anything with propofol.
We can't even remember this.
Proprioception. Or position.
That's
sense.
When the Pope arrives.
Ah, yes.
A Pope reception.
This is Kathy.
I drew one of the most beautiful places I've ever. Let me see if I can
guess what it is.
Yeah, okay. Hold
on. It's astonishing.
It was looks a long time ago.
Can I see?
So don't think recent.
Okay. Would we know of this trip?
Absolutely. Yeah, you would know of
it. It looks like a group of people with their hair on fire.
Can I see?
Nick, you're going to get it. Oh, look at me, Nick. Come on.
Kathy, show it over this way, too.
That's all of us.
It's 3, 4, 5. There's 6 people.
Oh, I know what it is.
6 stick figures.
Is that the Catskills?
No.
Standing in front of what looks like a fire or something like that, or
that's not a giant fire. You think that looks like a fire?
It looks like a giant bonfire.
I'm the worst artist on the face of the earth. Maybe some people in the studio will.
Anybody, does that incite you to remember any vacations you took?
You guys are never going to get. Do you just want me to tell you?
Give us a hint.
It's in Spain.
Barcelona?
Oh, it's the Gaudi Basilica in Barcelona.
The Trey Gaudi Basilica.
I have no idea what that is.
No, yeah.
It's when you were on your honeymoon.
Right.
Yeah, and you and Dennis, and you apparently brought 4 strangers. And you guys were standing in front of the Gaudi Basilica.
No, that's not what it is.
Is this when you, didn't you take a boat inside like a cave that was in the water?
No, that was in
a grotto or something?
That was in Greece.
No, we were not able to do that. There was too many waves.
What the hell is it?
Sagrada Familia.
Yeah. The Grotta
is
Familia.
Is that it? Okay.
That's it, yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure if that was still, I wasn't sure if that was the same thing, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, anyhow.
That's how effective drawing your.
It's this, right, Kath?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So you guys.
Yeah, now that's
you see it.
No, no, it looks nothing like it. It looks like a family on fire.
Well, that was all of the people that were outside.
That were on fire.
That wasn't necessarily who I was with.
But anyhow, it says using more than one sense allows the brain to solidify the memory, therefore making it more likely to be moved into long-term memory. So if you draw rather than take your photo, they say, these experts say.
It's a bunch of crap.
I think it is a bunch of crap.
You ever take a journal with you on a vacation? Like, write stuff down?
No.
I did that once, years ago, before there was, like, cell phones and stuff like that. But and we loved it. We had a great time doing it. I was with my roommate from college, but that's, like, kind of gone. People don't do it anymore.
My daughter did it in L.A.
Yeah.
Really?
And, yeah, she was keeping a journal, and she may have mentioned in it how funny Nick was acting when he came over to visit us.
I was drunk.
He was
hammered. Wait, she mentioned that in the journal?
I think she did.
Then the scary man arrived.
I read her
then journal. The scary man arrived.
Yeah, I was
he was
out
speaking a weird language and seemed to sleep a lot.
It was that card game we played.
Yeah, 31.
Yeah.
He's worse than Slender Man.
I had been drinking at the bar all afternoon, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nick got into that, you know, delayed response, very loud response.
He smelled like daddy after work.
You'd ask him a question, and it'd just be like, yes! get that delayed, loud response.
Almost passed out of that house. but I was honored to make her journal.
Very good. Hang on. I want to go to Brian. He texted in on the proper pronunciation of Uranus. Hey, Brian, right. How you doing?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us, man?
Well, the correct pronunciation, I know Kathy said in school they're saying it's Uranus, but it is Uranus. It is because it's been translated from other languages.
Okay.
But we just can't deal with kids running around saying Uranus all the time, although I teach a great lesson where I mispronounce it all the time because it's much more fun that way.
So are you a teacher?
Are you saying that are you a teacher?
I am a middle school teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. I've been teaching for more than 20 years.
All right, Brian, so are you saying that the actual correct way to pronounce it is Uranus, but you instruct not to pronounce it that way rather than avoid the kids running around saying Uranus?
Boy, this gets to a confusing conversation really fast.
Yeah, because we're looking at it. We're looking at it like, for example, here it says how to pronounce Uranus, and it says you're with a long vowel sound over the A, Uranus.
Yeah.
Really and truly, I think both are considered acceptable.
All right.
My feeling about it is it sounds bad either way. Are you talking front or are you talking back? It doesn't really matter. It's going to sound terrible.
Yeah. Just call it crap encrusted butthole.
I like that better. All right, Brian, thanks for the heads up. We appreciate it, man. Have a good one. One more item in the junk drawer, and then I want to take a break. A team of U.S. doctors has successfully carried out the world's first total transplant of a penis and scrotum.
Yeah.
Okay, draw why? That, Jeff.
And it was a...
just for the hell of it.
Just for the hell of it. No, surgeons at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore performed an operation on a soldier who had been wounded by a bomb in Afghanistan.
Wow. It was a very profound wound in that area.
Oh my gosh.
They used a penis, scrotum, and partial abdominal wall transplanted from a deceased donor.
So there was a large opening.
But he has another man's penis.
Yes. Yeah. Finally.
Well, you can say that.
They say the soldier should be able to regain sexual function.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That's astonishing.
Which is impossible with penis reconstructions. The team of 11 surgeons performed the transplant over 14 hours on the 26th of March. And it is the first surgery on a combat veteran injured on duty and the first to transplant a complete section of tissue, including the scrotum and surrounding abdominal area. Doctors said the donor testicles were not transplanted due to ethical considerations. Hmm.
Because if you have... And this is a question as I was reading this article. So the seminal vesicles, whatever creates the biological... The semen.
Yeah.
They made the point that were he to engage in sex, the resultant creation would not be of his own biological composition.
Wait,
But the donors.
No, yeah, I don't understand.
I think that's what they were suggesting.
I know, but...
It's not like it lives forever in there.
I don't know, but the genetic part of him that would create that Steve is saying... would come from the testicles of another man, still have his genetics in it. You know what I mean?
I guess it was still alive, technically.
And would still be of that person. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
But I mean, for this guy who had a severe, profound wound they were able to take care of and to give him back function, that's what amazes me.
Yeah, Dr. Andrew Lee, head of plastic reconstructive surgery at Johns Hopkins, said some war injuries are hidden and their impact not widely appreciated by others. He called the genitalia wounds an unspoken injury of war. In medical terms, the surgery is called vascularized composite allotransplantation, which is all to say that the process involves transplanting skin, bone, muscles, tendons, and blood vessels.
Do you realize the amount of nerves? For example, when I had my robotic prostatectomy and they used the device, they moved the nerves aside, took the prostate out, because years ago when they would remove the prostate, they just cut across all the nerves that provided you feeling in your junk.
Yeah.
But thanks to Dr. David Lee, who's an expert with me, he was able to keep all that intact, and so you do retain the feeling and everything.
Somebody texted.
But this is an astonishing operation.
Somebody texted in and said, that's nutty.
It is nutty. Well, good for him, man. Good for a guy who's, this poor guy who suffered this profound injury.
Absolutely.
Now has a chance.
Yeah. Experts from the surgical team expect the soldier will be fully recovered between 6 to 12 months.
So, just amazing. Yeah.
Is he able to father children at all?
No, I don't think he will be able
to. Okay.
No, not at all.
But he will be able to engage in sexual activity.
Yeah. So I guess, and listen, and I'm speaking very honestly, he's going to have to test that thing out. And which means they're going to tell him when he should
he's a hero
when he should pleasure himself.
Well, I jumped the gun when I had my operation.
You went early?
Well, I was in the shower, and everything seemed to feel exactly the way it had felt normally. I said, well, it's now or never.
Yeah.
Wait, so you jumped the gun, but it was fine? It didn't, like...
Yeah, everything. But mind you, it was. I had a prostatectomy. This guy had basically his entire groin area replaced.
It's amazing. It's incredible. So that's a cool story to wrap on. All right, that's it for the junk drawer. That's all I have for you. I have other things. I just don't have time to get into them. Because we have an opportunity for you to win a grand, and I want to take a break, and I don't want to miss that time. 8 o'clock is when we are going to get to that. We'll do the B-file in a moment. But I would like to give away a $50 gift card to the Rec Room by Conshohocken Brewing Company, who are here this morning.
Yeah.
And they are kicking off First Fridays in Phoenixville next Friday, May 4th, and you can discover Phoenixville's quaint shops, unique boutiques and art studios to amazing distilleries, craft breweries, and restaurants like The Rec Room.
I got to get over there.
Caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. Got a $50 gift card for you now. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mudder's Day 2018. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 12th. $15 per vehicle gets you in. And a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention mud?
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have cool prizes and vendors on site, too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and more.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Thank you, Kath. You know what? It's, it's time to do this. Here we go.
MMR's Birthday Bucks. Birthday Bucks.
All right. WMMR Philadelphia and ANT Chevy in Sellersville have your chance to win $1,000 right now. The word you need to text is motion, M-O-T-I-O-N. Don't send it to our regular text number. We still have people doing that from time to time. You want to send it to our special company-wide short code, which is 40772. Motion. M-O-T-I-O-N. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to do that. $1,000 up for grabs. If you miss it this time, we have it at 11, 1, 4, and 6 p.m. So don't miss out. It's motion to 40772. Real quick, I'm going to do a butt plug, if you don't mind, Steve.
Sure.
We were just talking about the guy who had his penis and scrotum. He had a transplant done. He was a veteran who was wounded in battle. And we were talking about reproductive issues and so forth. I got an email from this girl, Kelly, and they have an event that's taking place on May 5th this weekend. So is that Saturday or Sunday? No, that's next week.
Next weekend.
So they're doing the, it's called Preserving the Love. And it was put together by my ass-kicking sister, Janet. She had stage 3 breast cancer, one of the lucky ones who have beaten it, but her side effect of her cancer treatment, she may not be able to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And their purpose is helping cancer patients preserve their fertility after diagnosis. So for the third year, Preserving the Love is supporting Jefferson Sidney Kimmel Center Cancer Center by funding research that will investigate mechanisms for improving fertility preservation outcomes for cancer patients.
This is a big issue. That's awesome they're doing this.
So they have an event next Saturday, May 5th. Yeah, next Saturday. It's called Night Out on the Town at the Hilton in Philly at Penn's Landing. Open bar, food, music, dancing, wine pull, pinata pull, extensive raffle, silent auction items and stuff like that. What's a wine pull, by the way? Wine pull, like yank, pull, tug.
I don't know what that is.
All right. Anyway, the goal is...
I don't know what a pinata pull is.
They're trying to raise $100,000. So I'm going to get this information to Nick and pop it up on our website on the community page, and maybe you can help out. I think that's a really cool thing. And then I have an event this Sunday. I'll be emceeing the Take Steps for Crohn's and Colitis Charity Festival and Walk. It is at the Navy Yard. And we're going to get started in the morning on Sunday. And we walk the... Wait a minute. What am I talking about?
Wait,
no, this
doing?
Is later on. This is May 20th. I got the wrong event. The Walk for Hope is what I'm doing on Sunday.
What is that?
And it's for Crohn's as well. And I was looking for the information, but that's another
event. That's the Navy Yard. This is not the Navy Yard.
This the one I'm doing on Sunday is at the Navy Yard.
Okay.
And that takes place early in the morning, and I'll get the proper
Can you tell we're in charity season?
God damn it.
No, it, trust me. We get bombarded, so please bear with us. A lot of times we try to get the information out. There's a lot of stuff. But there's so many good charities. You want to help them, but enough. No.
yeah. It's the IBD Family Research Council.
There you go.
Anyhow, I'll be out there on Sunday. Come and join us.
Or you won't be. You'll be confused and you'll sleep in.
I will be there, and I am hosting this event, but I'm also hosting another event coming up on the 20 for the Crohn's and Colitis Walk, the Take Steps Walk. That's another one. Walk a mile in her shoes is next week. I'm doing a lot of walking.
You know what? You need to set up a couple of sitting charities.
Yeah, I think
Sit for Hope.
Please.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Lay for Love.
Yes.
Something. All right. Anyway, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Godshall's Turkey Bacon, the real wood-smoked turkey bacon. Only Godshall's packs this much flavor and a 94% fat-free. And made in facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Godshall's Bacon. A Tennessee woman is facing kidnapping charges after she claims God told her to grab a child. And the boy's father, Jerome Robinson, said you would never think it would happen to you until it really does. Robinson told police a woman grabbed his 5-year-old son Monday while he's walking him to school around 8 a.m. He said this woman pulled up and grabbed my son. She asked him, "Are you safe? This is not your father. Come and go with me. Jesus has a better place for you."
Oh, man.
The father thought quickly how he could defend his son, so he knocked her out. I mean, he didn't knock her out. He hit her and knocked her to the ground. 53-year-old Gina Richard is who she was, but she wasn't letting up. He said, "We were almost to the school. She still followed me all the way down the street screaming, 'Jesus, he's kidnapping my child.'" And he said people were looking at me like I was crazy, but I was with my son. He later called his wife, who notified the police and filed a report.
Did you get your Christmas surprise?
As police were searching for Richard, a nearby fire department called police after a female showed up saying that she had been punched.
Oh, man.
Richard explained that God told her to help stop a kidnapping. Robinson's young son is home safe, understandably shaken, and the woman was arrested on attempted aggravated kidnapping, by the way.
Could you imagine you see something like that going on and how you try to figure out whose kid it is?
If you hear a woman yelling that they stole their child, you may side with the woman and try to, so it's, you never know.
Once she went, you probably re-side with the guy again.
A Florida woman who was awakened early yesterday by the sounds of loud moaning discovered a naked man sprawled out on her deck with massage oil and a sex toy. Nearby...
He was using the Thanos, Preston.
There were also bodily secretions on her patio window.
Oh, you can't. You need a power sprayer for that.
Cops responded to a 2:15 a.m. 911 call, and they found Christopher Worrell.
The new fire pit.
Completely nude near the woman's residence. The woman told officers that she was startled by the presence of Worrell, whom she did not know.
It's lovely out here.
After being detained by police, Worrell said that he wished to speak to investigators. However, subsequent attempts to question Worrell were unsuccessful. He was charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. He was arrested last month as well for stealing clothing and trying to break into a trailer and was locked up on those felony counts until about 3 weeks ago when prosecutors declined to pursue charges. So now he's...
Sometimes it's hard to meet your neighbors.
Now he's spanking it on some woman's back porch. Okay, here's a cringeworthy story for you, gang.
Well, these were pretty cringeworthy to begin with.
Nah, yeah. Listen to this. A mother of three from the UK reportedly performed the world's first do-it-yourself breast implant removal at home.
Oh, my God, what?
Because she couldn't stand her F-cup breasts anymore and wouldn't get on the health services waiting list. 14 years ago, Tanya Rossington of Lincolnshire underwent a breast enlargement procedure in Brussels, which increased her bust size from 36B to 36F. So she got whoppers, man.
Right.
At the time, she felt her large breasts look natural, but a few years later, she lost a lot of weight and she began to hate them. She thought that they looked ridiculous and couldn't bear the thought that she was stuck with them for the rest of her life. So she started weighing her options and somehow eventually decided that the best thing to do was to remove the implants herself.
I mean, how hard could it be?
A year ago, after learning that a private operation to have the implants removed would cost her about $4,200, which she couldn't afford, Tanya wrote to her doctor telling him that the implants were causing her mental health problems and that she was considering taking them out herself. The UK's National Health Service only performs the operation for free in severe cases, like if the implants rupture or there's excessive scarring. And even so, patients have to get on really long waiting lists, something Rossington really didn't want to do. So she started thinking more seriously about a do-it-yourself operation. First, she started Googling it and learned that only one other woman had attempted it before, and she had managed to get out one before passing out and being rushed to the hospital.
So it worked.
But that didn't discourage her. She looked up tutorials on how to do the operation at home and then bought a $1 cutter and decided to get it done while her husband was at work. She said, I went upstairs.
She's Larry the Cable Guy all of a sudden.
I got the mirror in front of me. I sat there for a while and I thought, I just cut a little bit to see if it hurts.
Any anesthetic at all?
She said, I put the ice underneath where the original scar is. I lifted up my boob and held the ice there for 5 minutes until I couldn't bear it any longer.
No, she's doing everything right. Oh my
God. After a bit, I pinched the skin and I couldn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. So I just got the knife. And I did a tiny.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
I did a tiny little incision.
Girls, hold on to your boyfriends.
On the original scar tissue, and I couldn't feel a thing. I thought, oh, this doesn't hurt. Great. So she goes on to describe the procedure in great detail, from how she traced the line of her 14-year-old scar, being careful not to hit any major veins or arteries, and how she felt this jelly that turned out to be her fatty tissue.
Oh man!
To how she eventually pushed down on her implants until they eventually popped out. Then she made makeshift dressings under her breasts, put on a bra to keep them in place, and casually drove to the hospital in Boston, Lincolnshire. Once there, the shaking woman handed the emergency room desk clerk a note detailing what she had done.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors then squirted saline in the breast where one of her implants had ruptured to remove any leftover silicone. They changed her dressings and just discharged her a few hours later without stitches.
Hey, well done.
She said, now that they're gone, I just love it. I'll be honest, they don't look pretty. There's a lot of saggy skin, but I would never have implants again. They were the worst mistake I ever made.
And all she had to do was butcher herself.
Yes, seriously.
A plastic surgeon, Dr. Naveen Kaval, said Tawny was incredibly lucky to get away with a do-it-yourself breast implant removal surgery. The procedure carries immense risk of infection.
And now it's time for the rectal polyps.
Not to mention accidentally hitting arteries.
I can't believe they didn't give her stitches.
Yeah, she may have waited too long.
They're expensive.
I'm not really sure. As for how the woman was able to bear the pain, it is possible that the previous surgery affected the nerves at the base of the breast, which prevented her from feeling any pain.
And it also helps to be a stark, raving lunatic.
Yeah, so she managed to do it herself. How messed up is that? All right, one last story, then we got to wrap it up. It can be cool to keep a family heirloom in your home if it's not a bomb. Soldier Gerwin Miles recently passed away, but during World War II, he picked up something on a beach while serving in Japan and Asia 70 years ago.
I'm going to keep this.
The item was kept in his home and even taken into school by his granddaughter for show and tell.
I'm taking the bomb into school.
Miles' daughter, Linus, recently found the item again while cleaning out his home and realized the prize item was a live bomb. Bomb disposal experts had to remove it from the home in South Wales, England. The team ultimately had to explode the bomb in a controlled way. So it wasn't just a inert thing. It was a live bomb.
And that bomb had traveled from that beach all the way back to their home.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. I would like to give away right now to caller number 20 tickets in the MMR suite that we have. It's the Stage Right suite.
Wow.
For our 50th birthday concert with Bon Jovi. And we'll take that caller 215-263-WMMR. Did I say a number? Because I was, thank you. Caller 20. Thank you.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and member.
And we're going to be providing pizza and soda, and it's a bit of a birthday party for us, so we're excited about
it. I'll even do magic, Preston.
Thursday at the Wells Fargo Center, and 215-263-WMMR. It's a 360 production, and it's a unique and close-up view from the suite. Tickets remain at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thanks, Kat. Bit of a bombshell yesterday as far as what we were anticipating with the announcement of the verdict in the Bill Cosby trial yesterday. I mean, we were all texting each other going, can you believe this?
Yeah.
And while I was watching the coverage on 6ABC, this gentleman was right there at the Montgomery County Courthouse giving all the news. So we figured we'd get him in and get some of the details maybe we have missed out on. Please welcome... from 6ABC Action News, Mr. Brian Taft.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good to see you, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So you were there yesterday.
Yeah.
As were you there before the verdict came out, or were you there when they actually?
No, to set the stage, I was in my bathroom shaving.
Okay,
at about 1:30 in the afternoon, getting ready for work. My phone rang, and they said, "Can you go to Norristown?" I said, "Well, are we expecting a verdict?" And they said, "Yeah, once it's been about 15 minutes. How quickly can you get there?"
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they got. It's funny because I don't think anyone expected the verdict to come down yesterday.
Yeah, literally no one expected.
Right, probably, I think what I was hearing, the assessment was the beginning of next week, more than likely.
That's right, yeah. Remember that in the first trial, it was 5 days
of
deliberations, which led with, which ended up in a hung jury. So for a day and a half, not even really, it was pretty stunning.
Well, and then the questions that came from the jurors, that led you to believe that they were going to take a little while. They asked to have the deposition reread to
them.
That's
exactly right.
Took almost 2 hours, and then they also asked for the definition of consent.
Yeah. Remember, so 2 nights ago, the jury asked for the judge to read back quite a bit of testimony. In fact, so much that the judge literally lost his voice.
And said, I can't do it anymore.
Right. He can't do it anymore. He said, send him home for the night. Lost his voice, and his assistant ended up taking over. The next morning, yesterday morning, they asked for the testimony with respect to the woman who said that Andrea Constand, the accuser here, had confided in her that she was going to frame someone. So they asked to hear that testimony last, that this woman who said, basically, Andrea Constand made the whole thing up. And so really, everybody in the courtroom and outside thought, uh-oh. Here we go again, either hung jury or not guilty.
Because that would be the sticking point. But as these things go in court cases like this, what is the usual perception? If the jury comes back quickly, does it favor the defense or the prosecution?
It usually, in 99% of cases, favors the defense when it stretches out.
Okay.
Right? So last time when he got about 5 days, you thought something's going on here. They can't come to consensus.
Right.
The jury, you know, the verdict has to be unanimous.
Yep.
So, you know, a day and a half or less than that, 11 hours really, was pretty quick.
It's amazing, too, because the I think early at the outset of this go-round, the prosecution had a couple of wins that changed the whole complexion of the presentation in that what could be admitted as evidence, who could take the stand, and this was not part of the first go-round.
That's right. Yes.
I wanted to bring up real quick, so you'd mentioned the woman that the defense had brought in as their witness to counter Constand and say that that she had confided in her, that she was going for a money grab. But the prosecution, I guess, pleaded that or made a case that she may not have even been on this supposed trip that they were on together where they confided this. And do you think that that might have been why people had the jury discounted what she had to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, Andrea Constand viciously denied, or I should say strongly denied, that she ever had that conversation, that it ever happened. And I think that what happened really with the jury was that they were very turned off by the presentation by the defense, which attacked not only Andrea Constand, but all of these other accusers as opportunistic con artists. And let's not forget that this trial is happening in an entirely different era, right?
The Me Too era.
The Me Too movement. And 1 year ago, I frankly don't even know if this conviction would have happened 1 year ago. Because even though there was more evidence, Steve, as you pointed out, that the jury got to hear this time.
Right.
There was this sort of overarching consciousness of what's happened in the country since last year.
Yeah.
And even Kevin Steele, the DA in Montgomery County, alluded to that yesterday. So it's a very different environment that surrounded this particular case. But you're exactly right. The jury got to hear a lot more this time. They got to hear five additional accusers.
Right.
But, you know, on the flip side, the defense also got to submit more information as well, including that conversation we talked about in which someone said that Andrea Constand was going to set Bill Cosby up. But, you know, they had to weigh the evidence here.
Well, it's the nature of the beast that, you know, and Preston just served on a jury a little while ago.
And Montgomery County.
Gave us some insight. But what you are charged with is taking the case on its case basis. So, you know, what can influence a decision? That's why in dramatic moments in movies, you always hear the judge will admonish the jury to ignore what they've heard. So maybe this person who came in and said they had this conversation with Constand was, you know, just to float the seat out there. So with all these things in play, you know, I'm curious as to whether or not, you know, and this is just a hypothetical on your part. Do you think Cosby thought he was going to beat it again?
It's a tough question.
Yeah.
You know, I think he did.
Yeah, it seemed to be, right?
He had this demeanor about him You know, even when he left the court yesterday, very defiant.
Yeah.
And oddly, in that moment, well, I don't know if you've talked about it yet today.
We did, yeah.
About the outburst in court.
Yeah. He called the prosecutor an a-hole.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sit well with judges or prosecutors.
Uh-huh.
But so then he left the courtroom and he raised his left fist as though it was a sign of victory.
Yeah.
And his lawyer came out and said, this is not the end. We'll continue to fight this. And so this is not the end. In fact, this is only really the very beginning of another lengthy, lengthy process. And it could be a long time before Bill Cosby ever sees the inside of a jail cell.
Well, he may very well, not to say just be, right. the clock is ticking on an 80-year-old man.
That's exactly right.
It's quite conceivable that he would just pass naturally. You know, we don't know. Certainly someone could live longer. But so what is the next step? I know within 90 days they will sentence him, correct?
That's right. Yeah. But the judge decided yesterday that he was not a flight risk, right? That was the argument Kevin Steele was making that prompted the outburst from Bill Cosby.
Right.
So the judge decided he's not a flight risk. He has not shown or demonstrated that along the course of the trial. So it's very likely that if he lodges an appeal at sentencing, no matter what the sentence is, the judge may agree. You can stay out pending your appeal.
Right.
And those appeals can take a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Have any of the jurors spoken out yet?
Not yet. I'm so fascinated to hear what they have to say.
I know.
You know, there were a couple of folks who were sitting in the courtroom day in and day out who anecdotally said that a lot of the jurors, you know, wore their emotions on their sleeve, including one young African-American man who was on the jury who apparently, according to the description of this one accuser, Lily Bernard, said just looked so disappointed. This was a guy that he grew up knowing from television and looking up to, as so many Americans did. And let's not forget Bill Cosby for all of this terrible stuff that he apparently did.
He was called America's dad.
Yes.
For the run of the Cosby Show, he was sort of the default father figure for many people.
And that's the thing. So that's the role he played on television. But even be outside of that role, he was a moral crusader. He was out there every day telling kids what not to say. Pull up your pants. Act decently. And yet now we know that privately he was going home and doing exactly the opposite. Because even though he denies what happened in this particular case, the jury didn't believe him. But even though he denies, he admits to decades of philandering, decades of giving women drugs to facilitate having sex with them.
That's an important issue. It's what we talked about earlier. I know, Nick, I want to get to your question, but that is an important issue to remember, because we talked about this earlier, Brian. It's being a roguish philanderer as opposed to someone who, by all accounts, seemed to enjoy the sedating of his victims and doing that with – that was part of the game, because someone of his stature, an 80-year-old Bill Cosby, could get women. It'd be – honestly, we just know there are people out there who are looking to forward their careers. This is not unheard of in the entertainment business and certainly could – and also has the financial resource to pay – you know, tight-lipped escort services, if that's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
So this seemed to be integral to what he was looking to get.
And not even just part of his routine, apparently, but he was taking advantage of these women. The testimony from many of these women were that they confided in him that Andrea Constant had a headache, that Janice Dickinson was suffering from menstrual cramps, and so he would pounce on that.
Yeah.
And say, oh, well, I've got something for you, and give them this little blue pill, which he testified was Benadryl or something like that. But these women would tell him something so arcane as that, and he would pounce on that fact and then physically pounce on them. It's horrific.
I know there are a lot of differences, so I'm not drawing exact parallels, but I'm always interested in legacy. And you spoke about it a little bit, Brian, but, you know, when the Joe Paterno case happened and there was this beloved person who really could do no wrong in a lot of people's eyes and then had this downfall at the end of his life. And now when people talk about Joe Paterno, they think about him very differently than they would have had it not been for Jerry Sandusky. I'm interested as to what people will think about Bill Cosby 5-10 years from now, because this is this going to be his enduring legacy?
This is the headline.
Will it be some of the good?
No, I think it'll be very little of the good, because we now can see the good through the prism of the bad and recognize that that was really only a front for who he was, who he really was. And I think that's the headline.
Because if you extract, to your point, if you don't believe the verdict and you believe he was innocent, by his own word, he admits to years of very unsavory behavior. So that alone, you know, unless there was good done, but oh my God.
Yeah.
The history is not good. It's checkered to say the least. Preston brought up an issue earlier about, is this a product of, obviously, the Me Too, and I think we talked about, also it's a product of, oh no, maybe Nick, you brought it up, the Hannibal Buress video that, you know, the comedian on stage brought up the Cosby issue. Yes. That video went viral.
Yep.
And then the victims started to see it.
Yes.
And it started to fester. And that, and then they came forward. There seemed to be a whole bunch of things that are of this time that had to be in play to get this to happen. Because at 80 years old, it was quite likely he was going to finish off his life never having to account for anything.
That's exactly right. And refusing to answer any questions about it, too. Whenever it came up in a public forum, he would almost obnoxiously shut the question down as though, how dare you ask me about that? And let's not forget what you just said. So when Hannibal Buress came out and said that, boy, the floodgates opened. There are 62 known accusers, right? So if there are 62 women who are brave enough to come forward and say, this happened to me, how many more?
Right.
So as is with a high-profile case like cases like this, even though things seem pretty solidly in one direction, there's still mixed reactions.
Yeah, of course there is.
There are people who think that this was racially motivated, or that it may have been a money grab, or a bunch of different things.
There was a guy yesterday who referred to it, one of the witnesses outside the court, not the witnesses, one of the people just hanging out watching, referred to it as OJ 2.0.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a guy you guys talked to, one of the reporters at Six, and the guy on the street just said, he's from Philly. He's a good guy. Like, that was it. That was his argument.
That one's not going to hold up in court.
Yeah. Yeah. Your Honor, he's a good guy.
Well, I don't know what we're all here for then.
Let's go home.
He's a Philly guy.
No, but you're exactly right. And that's what part of, you know, the surreal scene that played out of the courthouse yesterday.
Yeah.
Was all of these people who were still standing outside, hoping, oddly, that he would somehow come out and autograph their hat or their T-shirt. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's why Bill Cosby really did have a chance, right? Because this cult of celebrity that we favor in this country is that sometimes people are willing to excuse anything you do because of who they think you are.
Yeah, it's called a halo effect.
Yeah.
And people do get that. They are seduced by that side, their celebrity, and they will allow, even if you find out that someone is less than desirable, you can allow them that because of the high regard that you hold them in. So it's a bizarre effect. Was it circus-like around the the courtroom or the courthouse yesterday?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've seen some of the segments on late night TV. A lot of people come in to take advantage of that moment, and so that happened. You know, someone had a bubble machine, and that was going on.
People were being interviewed, and there were bubbles floating by in the background.
Every time that happened, someone would yell, "Bubbles!"
That's funny.
Yeah, and, you know, there's people out there with signs and chanting and saying, you know, "I've got you, Bill, I've got you, Bill." It was just a very, very surreal is not the word that describes it, because not just that scene, but, of course, what precipitated it, the downfall of this guy.
The downfall of a guy who was a legend. And number, lest you forget, I Spy, he broke the color barrier with Robert Culp on TV, and then there was his show where he was the gym teacher, and that broke another, you know, he was breaking down barriers and doing things. One of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time.
Sure.
But so take a guess here. Again, I know I'm asking you to conjecture a lot here. Does, with all the process and machinations of stalling and appealing and blah, 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 does he end off his life ever having done jail time for this?
I suspect that he will. So he was found guilty on three counts. Each count carries up to 10 years in prison. So effectively, right, 30-year sentence, if he got that, would be the rest of his life.
Yeah.
There are processes in Pennsylvania whereby it's very unlikely he'll get the maximum for each count.
Yeah.
He could get 10 or 11 months for each count. But there is a very, very strong push by the prosecution to make sure that he does see jail time.
Right.
And so I think that the judge has shown that she's very willing to go along with that. I mean, think about all the things that were allowed into this trial that the defense said should not have been allowed. And so I think it's very likely that he does go to jail for a period of time. But also keep in mind that now that this has happened, all of these women who have sued him or who were waiting to sue him in civil court now have much more
gravitas.
Exactly. There's a lot more momentum there. So he will be, if not inside a jail cell,
inside a courtroom for every living natural day he has left.
Wow.
Brian, after the verdict, you know, a few people came out and spoke, his attorneys and then Gloria Allred and the people that she was with. There was a woman, and I don't know all the witnesses, but African-American woman who was very emotional and very...
That was Lily Bernard.
Lily Bernard. Seeing someone react like that...
Yeah.
Kind of galvanizes that for me as far as, oh my God, look at how that woman is reacting. She is clearly emotional and something happened.
There was a devastating occurrence.
Yes.
Was she the one in court that said, you remember, don't you, Mr. Cosby?
Yeah.
Gosh, that was her, right?
I can't remember if that was her or not. That might have been Janice DeGioia.
This has been an issue, and in fact, she has said has led to a lot of her issues with drug abuse the years, that it's been festering in her.
So Janice, you know, she talked about this emotionally at court as well. The defense pounced on the fact that Janice Dickinson had written a book and talked about meeting Bill Cosby, but never mentioned any or alluded even to any sort of sexual impropriety that had happened. Well, then guess what? The publisher comes up and says...
Judith Regan?
Yes, and says... that did come up. We asked her to keep it out of the book for legal reasons. And so every single time the defense would try to poke a hole in the accusers, there was something significant to back it up. And if nothing more than the fact that there was such consistency in their stories.
Mm. Janice had a great response to that question of why it wasn't included in the book. She's like, I wasn't under oath when I wrote the book.
Yeah.
I'm under oath right now and I'm talking about it.
That's exactly right.
It was really interesting. It was very... Wow, man.
It blew me away. When I got the message, it's like, because honestly, I was expecting a hung jury.
We had this conversation in the newsroom the day before. I said, just kind of an informal poll, what's going to happen here? I asked my producers. I said, do you think that they are going to come back with guilty, not guilty, or hung jury? And the vast majority of folks either said hung or not guilty. Mm-hmm. But that's because we weren't in the courtroom. We had reporters there on a daily basis. Yeah. But, you know, the preponderance of evidence... as we all know now in hindsight, was significant.
It is tremendous between the deposition that he had given where he talked about it, between, the, you know, all the way back to things like, the, you know, his the bit he did on Spanish Fly.
Yes.
And all of that stuff. There was, you know, it's a whole bulk of stuff.
All right. So with sentencing coming up and there's an appeal that they want to file, how does that work out? Does the appeal take place before the sentencing? Does this process move forward, the sentencing, and the appeal goes on as he's headed off to jail, if that is indeed what happens?
So forgive me because I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that the defense can file intention to appeal. But the sentencing will happen no matter what. So within 90 days, we're going to find out what the sentence is.
Right.
Simultaneously, the defense will issue their notice of appeal. They've already effectively done that. They may have already formally done that.
Do you think he's going to be allowed to stay out on appeal?
That's the question. Right? That's the big question. Yeah. It would seem at this point that the answer is yes.
What's changed?
If there's an appeal, is it the same judge?
It would likely be the same judge. Yeah,
that's a good question because a lot of times prisoners will try to get an appeal while they are currently serving.
Right.
Unless they appeal to a different court, a higher court.
Right, that's true too.
Right.
Wow, it was a bit of a bombshell. Interesting stuff, man.
Huge bombshell.
Wow. You guys have any experts or anything coming up regarding that today?
Well, you know, a ton of analysis. You know, as we try to dig down and really essentially what made the difference. From one year to the next. And we'll talk about sort of the cultural significance of this later on. And we're trying to talk to everybody we can. Obviously, we'd love to hear from the jury, as I know you all said you would as well. And so I have a sneaking suspicion we'll get that.
Okay.
If not today, then in the coming days.
Okay. And can we just sit and listen to you talk for a while?
I sit and listen to you guys talk every morning.
Preston's got a good voice.
No, listen to me. When he's not in the room, I do.
Let's see who can go deeper.
We want you to do that. I really don't go that low. I have to get breathy a little bit.
Yes, get down there.
But Brian, you can get down. Can you force it down? Let's hear.
If I can.
Come on,
you
man.
Know it's funny.
I think you lock at this level. I think you're blessed with a very resonant voice. I don't think you probably have a lot of latitude with it, right?
Not a great falsetto either.
You couldn't have been in the Bee Gees.
Yeah, but you know it's funny because it's not something I've ever been really aware of. I think it. And until I got in television, people started asking me, like, is it a fake voice or what's going on?
Yes, you know? It's completely fake.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because, like, I'll call for Chinese food. I will literally place the order, and the woman will say, is this Brian Taft? It's so weird.
You should work the drive-thru at a place with a really clear system sometime and just be like,
Hello.
Yes, may I help you?
I guess you didn't see our feature on processed foods.
I love the promo. A lot of the personalities on 6ABC have their own promo that runs, and yours is great where people who watch you, their voice ends up sounding like you.
That's right.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it ends with my kids talking my voice, too. Which I
oh, those are your kids?
Yeah, those are my kids.
I didn't know that.
It's funny, though, because we filmed that probably 2 years ago, and so they're frozen in time for me in that.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, how's your wife doing?
Awesome. She's a lovely young lady. She's the best.
What's her name again? She has a great name.
Mara.
Mara.
Yeah. Does she still listen, or did she get sick of us finally?
No, she never. No, we're not getting sick of you. We turn you guys out of the house. Our kids are turning four this summer. They have to listen as well. So, yeah.
That'll end in a couple of years when they become, you know, sentient about what we're talking about. And then you can rejoin us again in a decade or two.
Yeah. No, I'm very blessed. A beautiful, wonderful family.
Cool. Awesome.
Very happy.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks for your time. We appreciate you coming
guys.
Brian. Thank you so much. Brian Taft, everybody. Yay! 6ABC, the unmistakable voice, and they continue their coverage of the Cosby verdict and where it goes from here. We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Comedian J.P. Sears is going to be in our studio. I should give away another $50 gift card from our friends at the Rec Room and Conshohocken Brewing Company. And don't forget, they're going to be part of Phoenixville's First Friday, which is coming up on May 4th. And they have so much great stuff in Phoenixville. Make sure you check it out. We'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks a bunch, Kath. Our next guest is going to be Punchline Philly tonight and tomorrow. He's got a couple of shows each night, and you may know him on YouTube from his channel, Awaken with JP. This is JP Sears, who is here this morning.
Hey, Preston and Steve, thank you for having me.
Of course. How are you, JP?
I'm good for a redhead. My people have been through a lot, and the Philly weather so far is really good for my species. No sun, a lot of rain, depression.
I watched your video on Philadelphia and found it very insightful. You came to the defense of Philadelphia and Philadelphians in your own way, which is always unique. But it's funny. I started to catch your videos a while ago, and then when they said you were coming in and you were going to be at Punchline. Oh, okay. And then put two and two together, and that's the guy. You've been around for a while with your self-help. How would you describe yourself? Because even people who have written articles on you seem to walk away confused. So why don't you give us the 411, as they say?
Yeah, I'll give it my version.
Yeah.
So I make comedy videos on YouTube, and I've been doing that for about 3.5 years. And before that, I'd been doing self-help, emotional healing, client coaching. So what I say I do, so I might as well say what I do instead of saying what I say I do,
right,
is I help people through the language of comedy, hopefully think a little bit better, hopefully live a little bit more of a meaningful life.
It's sharp stuff. It's funny stuff. But, it's done in that dry enough way where I could see people. Do you get occasionally some head scratching from people who are...
When people might see my stuff for the first time, they'll say, are you serious or are you joking around? And usually my answer is like both at the same time.
Yeah.
And also I don't know how to understand myself most of the time. Like, am I joking or not? I don't know.
Well, I have to ask you, when I first started seeing the videos, I thought, hey, Simon Pegg's doing some videos. Do you get
there
that?
There is a resemblance.
I had to learn who Simon Pegg was because I kept getting messages and tweets and things like, "Why you look just like Simon Pegg?" And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or I should be mad at you. So I looked up Simon Pegg, and I think I'm mad at those people.
he's
a beautiful man. He's
awesome.
So that's interesting that you will that you kind of so the positive vibe that you're trying to give is legitimate. You are trying to make people feel good about themselves and so on.
Yeah, very much so. I think that's something the world needs more of. I think people are, we sometimes treat ourselves like we're our worst enemy, but we're probably the person whose help and love we need the most in life. So I think we need a little bit more positivity in this world and a little more self-acceptance.
Well, you do it through, for example, your stuff about vegans and all the things that are sort of buzzworthy in the self-help realm and things of that nature. You address lovingly, but it's very funny. So I wouldn't call it sarcastic. It's a knowing approach to it. So in the actual, therapy or self-help, do you have paying clients who seek you out and your counseling and life coaching in addition to this, to the performing and the YouTube videos?
Yeah, I did up until about a year and a half ago when I let go of my client practice just because there were so many great new opportunities coming along that I wanted to devote my time to. But yeah, for 13 years before I started making videos, I had paying clients, and that's how I earned my living.
So I did not see the video titled Savage Philadelphia People.
It's great.
That Steve was alluding to. Can you give us a little thumbnail of what that encompasses?
Yeah, you know, I think Philadelphians get a bad rap for being at Eagles games and throwing D batteries at opposing players. And I think that's completely misunderstood and taken mm-hmm. out of context, because I think it's a very loving expression where fans can look at a player that they hate the most and teach the player to raise their loving vibration through what the symbology of having D batteries pelted at them represents.
Okay, so there's a symbology there.
Oh, 100%.
Don't take energy. It literally. Yeah. It's not, Don't take it literally. That's the problem. People take it as a literal sign of aggression.
I mean, instead of taking it as I hate that player, you should take it as I love my team.
Yes.
100%, and it's a D battery. It's the most expensive battery. Yes.
Yeah. And your take on the cheesesteak, I found especially adroit on because it's a point of pride.
It is a point of pride. In my experience of Philly thus far, is the cheesesteak is the national symbol of Philadelphia, and I might as well say it on air to all of Philadelphia. Yeah. That Philadelphia, you're not a nation unto yourself, but it's still a great national symbol.
Sure. Yes, sure. True. So the realm of YouTube and you know we've like Ed Bassmaster and people that we know who have really kind of shot to a level of success and stardom on YouTube. It's created this sort of there are a whole battalion of people out there who work in that realm. I don't know if Ed does any sort of stage stuff, but you can and do. Do you encounter a lot? Because we've done things. We've been out at events where there'll be YouTube personalities, but they're not. And people flock out to see them, but they don't really. There's nothing they do.
Sure.
You can and do. That has to set you apart from a lot of your contemporaries on YouTube.
Yeah. In my comedy shows, I stand there and I don't do anything for an hour. Which is, it's a beautiful way of expressing my art. Like, sure. I'm going to stand here and stare at you.
Right.
But no, you know, with the comedy shows, I'd say I've been blessed to have the opportunity to do public speaking and teaching for probably the past 15 years. So that's gotten me really comfortable in front of audiences. And I've always had, you know, my delusional sense of humor. So when the YouTube thing just really started taking off beyond my imagination,
it had to surprise you.
It was definitely a surprise, and the opportunity to do comedy shows, it was definitely a step, definitely a new go out of my comfort zone, but I was still supported by a lot of experience speaking in front of people. So, yeah, I guess my circumstances have been fortunate enough where I can transfer what I do on YouTube and not just duplicate the same stuff on stage.
Yeah, some people can't, with what they do on YouTube, can't do it on stage.
For sure. It's a new dimension that has to come out.
Let me ask you, with YouTube being in Facebook and everything being, you know, up on up in Washington, D.C., or down in Washington, D.C., having these conversations and talking about algorithms and so on and so forth, especially with YouTube and monetization and all that stuff. When they switched the algorithms, I guess about a year ago, did that affect you and the business you were able to do on YouTube?
Well, you know, I haven't seen any effect on my YouTube.
Right.
Though I'm on Facebook, I can see the level of views a video would get just so effortlessly a year ago. It's different.
How much percentage-wise would you say?
Honestly, the organic reach of a video is about 1/10 of what it was last year. And that's not just like one video. I get like some videos I make, they'll be great. They'll get good views, and others will be a little more mediocre. But just across the board, the organic viewership is about 1/10.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it is, as a creator, I have my bias where I want more people to see my stuff. But at the same time, I have to respect Facebook is someone else's creation.
Yeah.
And who would I be to come in and tell that person how they should run their creation? Like, you have no business giving me less viewership. But what I can say is, for creators on Facebook, it is far less motivating to contribute value to the platform, because it's in a way, it's like not the same thing, but I'll use the analogy anyway, just because I don't have a better one. In a way, it's kind of like if a movie director made their movie and then they paid people to go see their movie.
Right.
That's what Facebook is asking creators to do. So I don't think it's a sustainable model to keep creators producing good content for free on their platform.
So let me ask you along those lines about the monetization of social media, because, you know, you look at somebody like anybody in the Kardashian or Jenner clan, where they can take something on Instagram and make money directly from a post, right? Yeah. Are you able to do that, or does your income still come from, I'm going to use Instagram to promote myself, and then I'm going to make money by touring and having people pay to come see me?
Yeah, you know, that's where most of the money comes in. But there are some companies I work with where it'll be like, yeah, hold our product or do a little video for us, and I'll get paid directly for that.
So, well, yeah, it's a weird thing, because, again, everyone who's an expert on this stuff is really not an expert, because no one knows where it's going. Mm-hmm. So on the more practical end, when you're doing the life coaching and stuff like that, did you ever have somebody who just said, for Christ's sake, can you get it together? You know what I mean? I mean, where even you became frustrated with someone's inability to just take stock of things?
You know, I think self-sabotage is part of the human condition.
Yeah.
And I think a beautiful place for a person to be is when they're working on getting out of their self-sabotage and realizing, like, self-sabotage, it's ways we comfort ourselves through uncomfortable ways, but we find comfort in the repetitive cycle of discomfort. But then when we start to break that, like, cool, we give ourselves our wings back. But then when people sabotage their efforts to go beyond self-sabotage, certainly, as a coach, someone who cares about the person.
Have you ever punched someone?
Is this a confession? We're going to have another felony case in Philadelphia.
But you're right about that. We all know people, you know, who are just, they just will not let themselves succeed, you know? It's like myself. Like you? Yeah.
No, you know, it's funny, because I'm on YouTube right now, and there was a video of yours that I didn't even realize it was yours, but I love it. But before I talk about that video, I want to ask you, are you a vegetarian, vegan, or a meat eater?
I'm a Caucasian.
Okay.
Because it's a good deflection.
You have this video. It's got over 8 million views, and it's if meat eaters acted like vegans.
That's the first one I saw of yours.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So is there blowback? Unless if you're a vegan, then I guess it's okay.
You know, my saving grace is my fiance is a card-carrying vegan.
Okay.
So I eat a strict vegan diet myself.
Yeah.
And a meat-eating diet simultaneously. But when that video, it's like, why do we have to
You run both hands?
Yeah. It's like I have a left hand and a right hand. Yeah, like I do both of those all day, every day.
It's totally
but
fine.
When that video came out, there were, you know, people who weren't vegans tend to love the videos. And then within the vegan community, like, they're a species unto themselves.
Yeah.
It was divided, where a lot of vegans who seem to be, like, secure, they have a sense of self beyond their eating philosophy, they would say, like, yeah, that is funny. Like, we do that. And then there were certainly the righteousness that came out, which I understand. And I remember the BBC had me on doing a live Skype interview, and they really tried to get me into a corner. It was just, I mean, it was like
they were setting you up?
They were setting me up. They said, JP, we interviewed a waitress at a vegan restaurant, and they like played the clip, and she found your video offensive. Like, what do you have to say about her feelings being hurt? I would never try to rob someone of the emotions that their physiology creates for them. Like that's not my territory.
And then just shut it down. Great. It is. It's funny though. I've known a lot of people who have now. You know. So I guess now I would be in the realm of a pescatarian. And you know. But I if there's a great hamburger in front of me, I'm I will have at it. But the people who go hardcore vegan, there seems to be like a couple of steps in the genesis of them. They get into it, they embrace it, and then they become militant against anybody who's not for a little bit. And then they settle down, and then they try to start extending the olive branch and getting you interested in it in a more approachable way. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, and it is, and I think it's like any other philosophy or practice that people make a religion out of. It might be CrossFit. It might be eating paleo, where there's a level of like, wow, this seems to really work for me. So everybody should do this all of the time. All people are the same. My way is better than your way. And then after that self-righteousness calms down, I think people start to realize like, oh, like who I am isn't how I eat. So I can like not believe my life depends on me defending this eating philosophy and pushing it onto others as though it's a virus, but it can become more of an olive branch invitation.
Right.
Just much friendlier.
And then you eat the olive branch. Yeah.
I have a buddy whose wife got into fitness, CrossFit, all that sort of stuff. And her friend as well, they sort of got into it together. And we were talking about this the other day. He's gotten to a point where he can't stand being around them together because it's all they talk about all the time. And then they turn it on him like, well, why don't you go to the gym? And he's like, you've known me my whole life. I don't want to go to the gym. Like, I'm just not that guy.
Well, it's like the old joke of how do you know if somebody's a vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you in 5 seconds.
For sure.
You know, and it's fairly accurate as well.
Yeah, and I think what they're ultimately waiting for us to say, like, well, why don't you go to the gym? I think what we all need to learn how to say is, because I'm not as good of a person as you. End of conversation. Yeah. Let's move on.
That admission is all you need.
Yeah.
How do you persist with someone who's just going to say, I'm just not as good as you?
Yeah.
I love that. It's perfect.
Wow. So, you know, when you do these sessions with people, and you work on stuff with them as far as self-help and healing, I see that you're a teaching certification or something along those lines?
Yeah.
Is that involved as well? I like the way you answer, like, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Preston, that's true. I felt that in my heart chakra. It's so true that you just read that off my bio.
Because I'm fascinated by those things. It's nothing that I personally could ever follow. I have a guy who I used to work with, and he followed down that path, and he's very, very spiritual. But what exactly it is he's spiritual about, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very mysterious.
I don't know that any of us know. And, you know, I was definitely the self-righteous spiritual person and health eating nut throughout my whole 20s. And I was living in Southern California, so it's kind of like, bro, I'm a little more conscious than you.
Exactly.
So one of the reasons why I started making videos was to shine the light of awareness on my own crap, my own ridiculousness. Like, wow, I am so egotistical about spirituality, about health, which is like spirituality and ego are maybe like opposite things according to people. So, but when I boil it down, Preston, and answer the question that I don't know how to answer of like, what is spirituality? I don't know. But if I was pretending to know, all I can say is what I found for me is it's feeling connected to something beyond me.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that might be a group of people. It might be Mother Nature. It might be what your mind calls your God, your creator, or what an atheist might call like Mother Nature. But it's like the same thing, just calling the same thing by
Gaia.
Different words.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize you were so spiritual.
I'm very spiritual. But it's funny. We were actually talking about this, Preston, because we were talking about, I don't know if you're familiar with the actress Allison Mack. From Smallville, she got
involved. The sex trafficking
system, and cults and things of that. And I think what you're talking, it's people find this need, and these people who are nefarious have an innate ability to prey upon or see that in people and parlay it. You know,
yeah, I think that's unfortunate. I think one of the greatest human needs, we all have it and will to the day we die, we have the need to belong to something greater than ourselves. And that's what, you know, family, we're pack animals. Our families are so important. But then, of course, once we reach adulthood, we find a new family. We need to belong to something. And that might be the crew we work with. That might be a religion. That might be, it's probably why veganism and all those things are so strong. And unfortunately, people can be left very vulnerable to predators. And I think that's when I look at, you know, cases of cults, part of me says, present day, how the hell can that happen?
That's what we say. Yeah.
But then you look at, well, fundamentally as people, we're all very needy. And if you can capitalize on a need, the need to belong to something greater than yourself, unfortunately, that can be capitalized on in a predatory way. And I wish it didn't happen. But I think it's important to realize it can happen.
Have you ever counseled someone who has been in a cult situation?
I have.
Yeah.
Religious cults and really, I mean, what we might call demonic stuff where, the quote unquote pastor who, that's the wrong word, but the predator that everybody looks up to, sexually abusing people, just really controlling people, controlling their lives. If one of their children decides, well, I'm not part of this religion anymore, then they force the whole family to disown the child. I mean, really, and I'm not even telling the half of it, but really creepy, skin-crawling stuff that in this case was done under the guise of religion. But I would just say for the record, that is not religion.
Yeah.
That is predatory behavior being like hidden behind the noble looking hiding spot of religion. It's not even a good hiding spot because you see the
it's on the right out there in the open. Yeah.
By the way, JP is a comedian.
Who
will be at Punchline Philly.
I was just thinking the same thing. But it's fascinating stuff, right?
What else is depressing that we can talk about?
Well, I would like to know how you go about getting a certification in holistic coaching.
My grandparents are dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the next depressing thing. I wish you didn't bring it up. But to answer your question in a literal way, the holistic certification I have is run by an organization called the Holistic Coaching Institute in Columbus, Ohio. And their criteria is a 360-hour certification of classroom time and practitionership. So, yeah, that was a program I went through. It probably took me half a dozen years to go through that and get a piece of paper that validated that now I am called a holistic coach.
How many pull-ups can you do?
The most I've ever done is 20 at one time. I don't think I'm on my peak game, so I'm making excuses because I've got self-esteem wrapped up in my physical strength.
Sure, yes.
But, you know,
as well you should.
I'm looking at a picture that you put out on Instagram of you with your shirt off, the word Philly written on your chest, and you're holding a machete.
Yeah.
And you're in great shape.
Yeah.
But
could you say more, Preston?
You shave your chest?
No, like I'm embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed if I did, but I'm also embarrassed that I don't have to shave my chest to have that minute level of chest hair.
Okay.
Are your pubes red?
It's
we're talking about body hair and comedy here.
To stop beating around the proverbial burning bush.
Yes.
Come on. And I think my species, gingers, we need to come out of the closet. We need to stop being ashamed of who we are. We need to stop being ashamed that we have zero sun tolerance. We need to stop being ashamed of all the childhood sunburn. And we need to stop being ashamed of our red pubes.
Yeah, red pubes. Ashamed. I'll tell you what, I'm in that realm right now. You know, I vitiligo, so I have to be very conscious of the sun and do the whole deal. But all I know is that when I go in and I meet the dermatologist, they're like, awesome, dude. You know, because it's all good. You
look
know?
Pale and sickly. Pale and you're doing good.
I consider my wife, like, if we go away like to a tropical location, I'm like high-fiving if I come back and no one knows I've left. Like there's no sign of any suntan whatsoever.
Now, as far as genders go, though, I think
women,
yes, I think it's a blessing. I think that having red hair as a girl is a I find them immediately.
It's the men that are freakish.
They stand out. The men, however, are a little freakish. No.
Well, that's fine. I don't identify as a man. I identify as a dolphin. So I take no offense to that.
All right, that's it. Good to know.
And by the current status of things, we have to accept that.
But yeah. Like a male dolphin, or doesn't it matter?
I think a dolphin is, it transcends male, female. And I'd also like to acknowledge that for me right now, we're underwater.
Oh.
I identify this as water. And the fact that you guys aren't drowning is a little insensitive to me and my dolphin identity.
Hey, is it true that gingers have a higher tolerance to pain?
We've heard that.
It's definitely true that I've heard it, too. And I'll tell you this, I think so. I've dislocated my shoulder 3 or 4 times in sporting accidents, which really is so freaky to look down and see your shoulder in the middle of your chest.
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, to get it back in, I've always had to go to the hospital, and the first few times they would morphine me up, but the morphine didn't do much, so they'd have to give me double, triple the doses. So
I think that's what we were talking about, right? Yeah. That it was like Novocaine, and
that was it.
It doesn't work. For
dentists were having issues treating redheaded patients because of the level of sedation they needed. Also, was there something? There were a few interesting attributes associated with gingers.
We don't have souls.
You have no souls.
Oh,
yeah.
That was it.
You're soulless creatures.
That was one.
Did you ever try and knock your shoulder back into place like Riggs does in Lethal Weapon?
Man, no. But this is funny looking back on it. The first time I did my shoulder, worse, I was wakeboarding. So did over-rotated flip, landed like horribly, shoulder came out. So my buddy pulls back in the boat, helps me get back in, and he looks at me and he says, JP, do you want me to put your shoulder back in? I'm like, you know how to do that? He's like, oh, yeah. So he's okay, count to 3, and he just takes my arm and yanks it. And granted, this is an arm not held together at the shoulder. It just excruciating pain, didn't go back in. He's like, okay, one more time. Just yanks it. And I finally looked at him. I said, you don't know what you're doing, do you? He's like, I have no clue, but I've watched Lethal Weapon, and they do this.
What he did, though, is he didn't do that. He buttressed his shoulder up against it. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He popped it in that way.
Yeah, wall, a file cabinet, you know, all that stuff. Hey, do they have an apparatus for you to wear? Because it seems like maybe you're susceptible now. That will help keep it in place?
Yeah. I mean, once you stretch the ligaments out, you are more susceptible from what I'm told. And, man, it's happened multiple times. So there's a little bit of a shoulder brace that I would wear initially, which I think maybe helped some, but the thing was flimsy at best.
Would a bustier help?
Could I borrow yours? And try
I've got a whole bunch of them. They're awesome. That's why my shoulders are so spectacular.
Oh, man. Wow. All right. Well, listen, JP is in town performing at Punchline, and there are 2 shows tonight and 2 shows Saturday.
Nope,
one show each night.
Yep.
And you can get them at Punch. You can get the tickets at punchlinephilly.com. And once again, the YouTube channel, if you'd like to check out, it's called Awaken with JP. How many videos do you think you've made in the past few years?
Oh, well over 100.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot to look at. I was scouring last night.
Yes. Well, listen, thank you for the enlightenment this morning.
Yeah. You're welcome, Preston. I'm going to keep praying for both of you guys. But Preston and Steve, I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys are gentlemen and scholars and much worse than that all at the same time.
Thank you. We appreciate that, man. Awesome. Let's hear for JP's here. We needed that this morning. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to have a special guest in our studio with a chance for you to win some stuff. It is the Philly Fanatics' 40th birthday on Sunday. It's MMR's 50th birthday on Sunday, and the Fanatic will be here in our studio in a moment. And there will be a way for you to hear him. We're going to communicate with him when we have him on. We'll be back in just a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. It's MMR Birthday Week, including a special installment of the Workforce Blocks covering 5 decades in 5 days. The doors to the MM Archives are flung wide open on Saturday as we feature our 50 favorite live performances. At 10 a.m. Sunday, our birthday, Pierre takes over live in the studio.
hosting a special trip back in time, playing MMR's number one song from every year we've rocked Philly. MMR's Birthday Week, sponsored by Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. Now that's a better way to buy a Hyundai. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
Okay, what?
So on certain days, I've said this to Casey because I wanted him to look to see if it was me or if it was you. But on certain days, as the morning goes on, the traffic beds get louder. And sometimes I feel like the last traffic bed is pretty much like that, where it's so loud. And I'm like,
I never noticed that.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's me and my ears or you and your ears. I don't know.
I don't know. I'll have to pay attention to that now. But listen, I do want to admit to something. I saw when we started this morning, you did the news. You had to reach over and turn your headphones up.
Yes, but that was because somebody played with them. They were like
that was me.
Oh, you did?
I did that yesterday. Oh. And I forgot to turn them back up.
Wow. Well, how come you did that?
We were doing an interview, Steve and I. There was a video interview in the scene. I could hear the I could hear the music coming through there. And I saw you reach over, kind of annoyingly turn it up when we started.
No, you know why? Because we have two different knobs, and I'm not exactly
sure. You have two different knobs.
Tune in Tokyo.
He's talking about
it. You can't say
you
anything.
You just lobbed it right up there.
Any regular words here. What do you want me to say? We have two little thingy-jigs that turn up the volume, and one does one thing, one does another thing. So it just sounded a little off, and I had to try both of them before I got it right.
All right.
I want that T-shirt.
Speaking of Tune in Tokyo, I want to thank the listener. I forgot his name, but he sent me this really awesome shirt.
And it's great.
It's got Japanese art on it, and it's from Dokken, Beast from the East, their live album. And he sent it to me. It's really colorful and cool. And like five people have asked me about this shirt today.
And where did it come from?
A listener sent it to me.
I mean, you know where they got it?
No, I'm not sure. I'm sure they found it online. But anyhow, I want to thank
where did it come from?
Shut up. We're going to do the Bizarre File, so let's do that now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Godshall's Turkey Bacon, the real wood-smoked turkey bacon. Only Godshall's packs this much flavor in a 94% fat-free and made in facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Godshall's Bacon, well, the Missouri Knights of the Ku Klux Klan must stop playing racist telephone recordings that imitate the Mr. Rogers Children's Television Show, a federal judge has ruled. U.S. District Judge Howard F. Sachs on Wednesday. Also,
Howard F. Sachs?
Yeah, S-A-C-H-S.
All right.
Also ordered the Klan and three men to turn over the tapes of recordings and other materials that lawyers for the program say infringe on its trademark and copyrights. Sachs issued the temporary restraining order one day after Fred M. Rogers and his Family Communications Incorporated sued to stop the Klan using the recording.
So they were using it on phone messages?
Well, the message imitates... Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
The message imitates the sound effects and song of the Mr. Rogers television show and Rogers' voice and speech patterns. The messages are of racism, white supremacy, and bigotry. The antithesis of everything Rogers and Family Communications Incorporated stands for, lawyer had said. A group of civil rights, community, and religious leaders complained last week that the number for a telephone in Independence, Missouri that played the racist message had been circulated among elementary and middle school students in the metropolitan area.
Okay. I see what they're trying to do.
The same phone number was used earlier this year to promote the philosophy of the Missouri Knights of the Klan. The lawsuit names the Klan and Adam Troy, Michael Brooks, and Edward E. Stevens. So they can't do that anymore. Kathy, you'll love this story. Makeup brands sometimes tout that their products will last day to night on your face. But one woman inadvertently put an eyeliner through perhaps its biggest test, a car accident. All right, this girl, Shelby, the nurse from Boston, Massachusetts, says that she spent the night and 8 hours in a hospital after being hit by a distracted driver last June. She says despite her mascara running down her face, the Kat Von D tattoo liner she was wearing remained around her eyes.
How awesome.
She even shared a selfie of herself in the hospital to prove her point. She's got a neck brace on. She's laying in the bed.
Kat Von D.
The mascara is down below her eyes, but the eyeliner, perfect.
And her review went viral.
It's very Jackie Bam Bam looking, isn't it?
Someone shared it on Twitter recently where it's been liked and shared more than 50,000 times. So
that's really funny.
That's pretty funny. After researching its rare collection, a museum in Buffalo, New York found out that a mysterious elephant bird egg
previously believed not to be real is actually real and has been mislabeled for decades.
An elephant bird egg.
I'd never heard of an elephant bird before.
It's craziest thing you ever saw.
After this discovery, the museum is going to reveal the egg to the public next Tuesday when the collections manager at the Buffalo Museum of Science was working on a catalog and converting it into a digital system. She spotted a large, realistic-looking egg, cream-colored, lying among the collection of more than 1,000 eggs. She said, when I saw the egg, it was so much bigger than any other eggs in our collection. It had so much detailing and pitting, and the color was
so pitted.
Was beautiful. It looked too realistic to be a model.
It's kind of a joke here at the museum. we pretend it's an elephant egg. Up here in Buffalo, the rectum of the country.
Welcome to Buffalo, the rectum of the country.
The look on your face when you do that giggle is great.
Up here in the museum.
Like Don Knotts-ish.
Yeah, exactly. Very Knotts-ish.
So anyhow, it turns out it's real. It's 12 inches long, 28 inches around, and weighs more than 3 pounds.
What's that Seuss? I've never seen. Yeah, well.
Horton has a who?
What's that from? I've never seen an elephant.
That's from Dumbo.
Dumbo. There we go. Exactly. Boom.
And then do you remember the cartoon where the elephant sits on the egg?
Yes.
My egg.
Right.
That raw huff and a real raw. It's all forth.
Yeah, but he sat on that egg. Yeah. Bill Weston. Can't talk about eggs.
Don't talk about eggs.
People only have a dozen eggs at home.
Yep. All right, and then
let's do a little hanging fruit up in barn door.
Let's go to this story. An Anchorage Daily News carrier was assaulted by 3 men during an early morning delivery. The man later said the attack occurred at 3:30 a.m. but didn't report the crime right away. He was hospitalized with lacerations, but his wounds are not life-threatening.
Mm.
Residents of an apartment building called 911 around 7 a.m. after they found a trail of blood in the hallway and at least 2 bloody newspapers the man had delivered before leaving.
Trails of blood are not good.
So this guy had been stabbed but continued on his route.
That dude deserves a raise.
Yeah, officers located the carrier at his residence around 8 a.m. He told them that 3 white males had attacked him, and then he kept delivering newspapers on his bike. When the officers spoke with the carrier, the man was unclear on how the assault happened and why he didn't call 911 right away. But he was a paper delivery guy stabbed, and apparently he wouldn't stop on his route and just kept on delivering. And
that is a hero in the world of paper delivery boys, Preston.
Absolutely. And,
is what I think.
Oh, my God!
Oh, dear God! Sweet mother of God!
Who just made it into the studio. The fanatic is here, the Philly fanatic!
Yay! With a huge sheet cake.
He brought a cake. Oh, my gosh. Look at this.
Oh.
It says, happy birthday, WMMR, 50 MMR rocks. Dude, that is so cool. Hey.
And I got a bucket hat on now.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
We do.
They brought in Fanatic bucket hat. So this must be something involved with the Fanatic's birthday party coming up on Saturday. Oh, we have his interpreter here with us. Our buddy John Brazier.
Yay!
Sunday.
Yeah, I'm weary of that cake. Yeah.
In the Galapagos Islands, there's a tradition that the Fanatic brings birthday presents to you guys.
Oh,
because especially the 50th anniversary of MMR. How about that, Fanatic?
Fireball right there.
Right? No drinking Fanatic. No fireballs.
No.
So Fanatic is the big 4-0 on Sunday. Wow.
Yes, but in the Galapagos Islands, again, there's different rules here that he's a perpetual 8-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
So once he turned 8, you can't get any higher in Galapagos Islands.
Okay, it's like Menudo.
Yes,
you can't
exactly.
Use a certain age you hit, that's it.
You're out. He is Menudo.
So that he is, of course, we've said many times, there's none better in the world of mascots. Mm-hmm. He's the absolute world's best mascot.
Mm-hmm.
But 40, technically 8 in his years.
Yes, in Galapagos.
Galapagos is a major achievement. So what festivities are planned around this?
Well, Sunday, Fanatic is a huge dog fan. First of all, thanks to Citizens Bank.
Eats them all the time.
Citizens Bank brought a huge birthday card, so you got to sign that card back there. But we are going to have a bucket hat. You guys are all wearing these bucket hats.
Yes.
But they're not for adults. These are for kids. All kids 14 under are going to get these Gilligan's. How do you describe this? Gilligan's Island.
Like a Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Fanatic in front, bucket hat. But the Fanatic is a huge dog fan. Who's not a dog fan? But he is a especially huge dog fan. So he is having all kinds of things. We're going to have frisbee catching dogs, right?
Nice.
We're going to have these dogs that are do these agility tricks, like an obstacle course.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. They're amazing.
Also, if you ever saw America's Got Talent, there's this lady, Sarah Carson, who is one of the world famous dog trainers. This dog hero is going to be out there to Collie. And this dog can get in a suitcase, get out of suitcase, can perform CPR on humans, can dance on 2 feet, can do all kinds of things.
Can it remove breast implants?
Yes, it can do it. I heard that story, and I think this dog can do it. I think it can do it.
Just
curious. We'll try.
Because if you feel that, if you feel
the big to-do. Forget the elephant. We're doing that.
You just got flashed by the Fanatic.
Wow.
Steve.
I didn't even know you had nipples.
Yeah. So it's a 1:35 game, but get in your seats by 1 o'clock. Because that's when the Fanatic Dog Show takes place.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I'm excited. Weather's looking like...
I love this hat.
No rain or anything like that on Sunday, which is very cool. So
and
we're
we have a concert tonight, too, by the way, after the game. We have Zed.
Zed
is performing after the game, a free concert for anyone who has a game ticket tonight.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little EDM hour-long show.
What time is the game today?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
7 to 5.
So. That's a late party, then.
Yeah. So he's probably go on about, I don't know, about 10:30 or so. And
yeah.
So will the Fanatic be doing a Molly tonight then in celebration?
Yes, drinking a lot of water, doing a Molly. No, he will not be doing that, Steve.
Well,
I cannot believe he said that.
The EDM and all that stuff.
I thought you were talking about a girl named Molly.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to have an hour to kill at some point. Yeah.
Well, listen, we knew that the Fanatic was coming in this morning, and we knew that you guys would be bringing some tickets.
Yes.
So we're going to do a contest, and it's going to involve the Fanatic, and I need some callers on the line, 215-263-WMMR. You're just going to have to agree or disagree with the Fanatic, who we're going to have answer some questions here in just a moment. So get on the line, 215-263-WMMR. It's in a moment. Get your thinking. Yeah, that's his tongue.
Okay.
By the way, we can. Oh, I need the bell, Steve.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, you want two?
Yeah, we can do two bells.
All right, yeah, here.
And give them to the Fanatic, and he'll use them to signal his answers, and then we'll go to our callers and we'll see if they want to answer, if they agree or disagree.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful that the Fanatic's going to be able to hear the callers because he has his headphones on.
He does. He does, yeah. He's all good to go.
Yeah,
by the way, Preston, people do not know just how learned the Fanatic is.
No, exactly. And that's why we chose this subject this morning. So
the schools on the Galapagos Islands are some of the top schools in the world.
And Case, can we get some thinking music or something like that?
Oh, I can do that, yeah.
We love about, Philadelphia and the Phillies and the Fanatic all start with PH. So we thought we would go with a subject that starts with PH. So our subject this morning is physics.
Yes.
All right. So Fanatic.
He's waving us off. He's very excited.
He's doing the sign safe. This is a safe topic. Yes.
Fanatic physics is what we're going to be doing this morning. And don't worry. So he'll use, he's just committed Harry Carey here. We're going to have him signal with the bell. I know how to interpret him with the bells, and I will tell you what his answers are, and then our caller on the line will have to agree or disagree with the answer. So, Fanatic, we're going to begin with our physics Fanatic question. Here we go, and you just answer with the bells.
Yeah.
So here we let me get a caller on the line. We're going to be playing with Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, Delco rules.
Delco does rule. There you go. All right, so Dave, I'm going to ask the Fanatic a question. He's going to answer with the bells. I will interpret what that answer is, and you have to agree or disagree with it, okay?
You got it.
All right, and if you get it correctly, we'll give you tickets to see the Phils play on Sunday, 1:35, and it's the Fanatic's 40th birthday. Here we go. Question number one, Fanatic. What is Newton's second law of motion?
Newton's second law of motion.
He's thinking about it.
He wants to know if that's Fig Newton's.
Fig Newton's?
No.
Sir Isaac. You just got a tongue in your face.
Newton. Okay, he's thinking. He's
just got
his hand. He's telling me, give him a second. He's headed towards the bell. Here we go. Force is equal to the change in momentum over time. Okay, that's his answer. Okay. Dave, do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
That's correct.
Yeah! Nice job.
I knew he knew his physics.
Yeah!
Dave, hang on. We're going to get you tickets to the game on Sunday, all right, bud?
Oh, boy.
Damn, he's good. He just strangled John Brazier.
He's tangled in the headphone
cord. What a headphone issue.
Like fully 100%
tangled.
Wow.
Oh, no.
He's actually... He's
goes right
wow,
the other way.
Man.
Go. Okay, you got to swing your belly around to get it off. All right, let's get our next caller.
We had the same problem with Louis Anderson.
We have Justin here. Hey, Justin, are you there?
Hey-o.
All right, Justin, you're going to agree or disagree with this physics question. It's the Fanatic physics. And, Fanatic, here's your question. What precisely
does Albert Einstein's famous E equals MC squared theory mean? Oh. The increased relativistic mass of a body times the speed of light squared is equal to the kinetic energy of that body. Did I get that correct? All right, that was his answer. Is that you agree or disagree, Justin?
Agree.
Wow.
Yeah!
Justin, hang on a second. We'll give him tickets to the game, 135 Sunday, playing the Braves.
I mean, a lot of people, again, they are unaware of just how incredible the school system of the Galapagos Islands is.
All right.
And I'm getting the agreement from the Fanatic.
All right, let's go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Elizabeth, you just have to agree or disagree with the Fanatic's answer to this physics question. Are you ready?
It's a nail-biter.
I'm ready.
All right, Fanatic, what is the third and final law of thermodynamics?
Third and final law of thermodynamics.
Ooh, this one he's got to think about.
Wait, is he cheating? Is he looking it up?
No.
He doesn't know it.
He's just trying to get some... he's reaching out to a lifeline in the audience.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we got it.
Ah, interesting. He says the entropy of a system approaches a constant value as the temperature approaches absolute zero. Elizabeth, do you agree or disagree?
Agree.
That's amazing. Wow. We got another winner.
Wow. People are good.
Wow. Hang on, Elizabeth.
Lifeline worked.
We are going to give you tickets to see the Phils play the Braves, 135 on Sunday, Citizens Bank Park. It's the Fanatic's 40th birthday, and it's MMR's 50th birthday.
What a brainy bastard.
All right, we have two more to go, and I'm going to get I'm gonna get Christy. Yo.
I don't think that's the tongue that comes out. I think that's part of his huge brain.
It might be.
Yeah.
All right, Christy, you there?
I am.
All right, Christy, I'm going to ask another question, a physics question to the Fanatic. Here we go. Regarding extraterrestrial space travel.
Oh, boy.
What does the Fermi paradox refer to?
Fanatic is thinking, clutching his chest.
He's taking a drink of rum.
I think he's
getting a little fireball. Snockered. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. All right, here we go. All right, he's saying the apparent contradiction between the lack of evidence and high probability estimates for the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations. Okay, is that correct? Or do you agree or disagree, Christy?
I 100% agree.
You're right. The big brain on the finale. Christy gets tickets to the game. All right, we have one last question.
It all comes down to this, Fanatic.
And we're going to Dave. Hi, Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
All right, we're good, and we're doing the Fanatics physics quiz.
Preston, he's nervous. He's spraying in the corners.
Oh, man.
Just marking his territory. Okay. All right, final question, Fanatic. Here we go. What does the field of quantum mechanics pertain to?
The field of quantum mechanics pertain to.
I think this is what he wrote his thesis on. This is just a gimme.
No, he wrote his thesis on a rock.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
One ring and walks away.
But if you're the interpreter you claim to be.
Well, I can hear the nuances in his body language. What the Fanatic says is it deals with the mathematical description of the motion and interaction of subatomic particles, wave-particle duality, the uncertainty principle, and the correspondence principle.
All right.
Would you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree.
Yeah, you got it, yes! A clean sweep! Tickets for everybody! To the Fanatic's birthday party.
And what a party.
Coming up on Sunday at the ballpark. It is a blast.
I just sneezed on our sheet cake.
Oh, man. John, one more time, give us some of the details about the birthday party.
I want to let you know, too, it's Emile Fermé's, according to the Fanatic.
Oh, but, really? Yes,
but it's 135. On Sunday, we play the Braves. But again, get in your seats at 1 o'clock because there is a dog show. Sarah Carson, her dog that does CPR. We got
that. Honestly, who would want to wake out of a medical situation to find a dog's tongue rammed down your throat?
Your only option is hero.
Yeah. It could be worse. It could be a dog proctologist.
On Molly.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. It's horrible.
Oh,
right.
My God.
But, yes, all that's not taking place. 1 o'clock dog show. No elephants this time. It's all dogs. 135.
Oh, that's great, it's awesome. Man. Dude, we had such a great time at spring training.
I hope that's an annual tradition because I had a great time too. Gabe had a great time. Everybody, yeah. Every player that went on there loved you guys.
And John, so. The team is rocking.
I give it to you guys, right?
Yeah, you know what? Just the whole vibe and just it's a good energy, and you can sense it's going to be a wonderful summer.
Yep, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of young guys. It's going to be really fun. And again, thanks to you guys because I'm giving you guys full credit.
No, there we go. We'll take it.
Full credit.
Excellent. All right, John Brazier, Philly fanatic, on the Preston and Steve Show. Sunday's the birthday party. It's going to be awesome. We'll take a break and be right back.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Nick just alerted me as that song was ending. MM Barbecue is in 3 weeks.
Unbelievable.
May 19th, 3 weeks from tomorrow is when we have that MM Barbecue. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, make sure that you grab them. It is going to be a sellout, and we would love for you to be there for the entire festivity. So we're getting close, getting close, getting close. It's a wonderful thing. And it's going to be a great weekend. You know, I'll tell you about some of the programming stuff coming up in Music News in just a moment. I'm going to share something with you because I've been meaning to do it all week long. I just keep forgetting to do it. If I don't do it now, I'll forget about it. I went down to Wildwood last weekend. My daughter had a cheerleading competition.
Yes, yes.
And so I had some spare time, and I walked up and down the boardwalk a little bit. And it's starting to, you know, we're getting close to season. So there were enough people out there, and the shops were opening up and everything. So as I was walking back, and it was in the morning, they were just opening up. But I saw something that I had to have just for nostalgia's sake. And I bought these, Steve.
Oh, click clacks.
Clackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you, are you good at it? I was always good at it.
I'm okay at it. So,
These are the things, by the way, when they first came out, they were like, they first came out and they're like these hard plexiglass. And what would happen eventually is they would explode and they turned them into like a harder plastic. Now they return to what they originally were, which were Spanish bolas, the weapons to snap people's necks.
These are hard, man. I bruised up my wrist a little
bit. Did you? Okay.
Doing it. So you guys.
Do you ever do this?
Oh, sure. Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have them on, like, so you have them on, you know, just two pieces of rope.
Yeah.
I think when I was growing up, they were on.
They were pre-done to click better.
Yeah. It's a plastic. Yep.
This one meant you were a pussy.
Yeah. This is different. So you're
ready? I don't think I could do that.
Really?
Hang on. Yeah.
You got to get it started.
Yep.
You got to swing them.
Oh, there you go. All right.
That's it.
Oh, man. It slipped out of my hand.
Damn you.
Let me get a better grip on this.
On your balls.
Yep. That's what they are.
Does it hurt when it?
If it hits you, it can. But wait, I had a pretty good one going the other day. Hang on a second, let me try again.
It's always the other day, isn't it? There you go.
Wow. But like my sister could just just do it forever.
What's the world record for clacking?
14 seconds.
Yep, 14 seconds.
Wow. It's not that long. Right, one. Oh, you almost had 2 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll try. I don't think I have the old.
Look at that kid here on the video. It's just banging away. Yeah.
Little piece of crap.
It's kind
of
hard. It's hard to grip it on the
also,
end.
Also, it's not weighted properly. I have my click clack scale at home.
Oh, you do? All right, here goes Steve, former champion.
Nice.
There you go.
Hey.
Not bad.
That was like a full 2 seconds.
They used to call me the Bammer.
The Bammer.
Yeah.
That was your name?
The Bammer. And then a hooker shot me in a hotel room.
All right, try it again.
Whammer.
It's hard to get when you initially cross over into the fast.
My finger on the way.
One more time. Sorry. I had a big old bruise on the side of my arm from it the other day.
I was rendered completely impotent.
From that? Wow. All right, here we go. You were doing it wrong.
I know. I was doing it with my actual balls. No, I had a good one.
Yeah, Kathy wants to try it out.
All right, here's my balls.
Right.
I don't know. Case, I am so used to the pre-done one with like the plastic.
Oh, you're going to get so hurt.
Oh,
you're doing it.
Yeah.
All right, got to get them banging. There you go.
Oh, wait.
Come on, you can do this. Oh, my God, amazing.
This is my first time ever planking balls.
That's what a good girl says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Got like, was it three? Yeah. All right. I'll do one more time.
One more time. Yeah.
Kind of.
So graceful.
Amazing.
Woo!
All right. Just thought I'd share that with you guys. We'll play with this off air. We'll play with our balls off air. We need to do the lesson question today. We're going to give away a pair of tickets of sweet tickets to join Steve and Casey Boy at the AAA 400 Driver Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race. That's coming up May 6th. And the question that I have for you this morning is, what is Buffalo's nickname? 215-263-WMMR. I don't know if anybody will get that or not. It was just a little while ago. What is Buffalo's nickname? 215-263-WMMR. Steve uttered it just a little while ago. While you're calling in, we're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Skull Shaver. Attention, bald guys. Shave your head in less than 90 seconds to say goodbye to Nick's Cut Scrapes with the all-new Pit Bull from Skull Shaver. Use promo code BALD at skullshaver.com for exclusive discounts. What's going on, Steve?
Well, singer and actress Janelle Monáe revealing in a recent interview that she is pansexual. Monáe says it isn't a straight or gay thing, but rather a wanting to have sex with a half-man, half-goat thing.
Whoa.
Hey!
In light of numerous photos and videos surfacing, showing him with other women, NBA star Tristan Thompson saying he'll be surprised if Khloe Kardashian forgives him, said Tristan, quote, "I made a horrible mistake and I poked the bear. I mean, I literally poked a woman who's the size of a Kodiak bear."
Oh, my God.
And finally, Queen Elizabeth reportedly went horseback riding while awaiting the arrival of her sixth great-grandchild. While she enjoyed the quiet and contemplative nature of the ride, she did admit that the saddle, quote, tore her ass up.
All right, we'll see if somebody was listening and knows the answer to this. What is Buffalo's nickname? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Anthony. Hey there, Anthony.
Hey, chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot.
Hey, what is Buffalo's nickname, please?
It is the rectum of the country.
Yes. Yeah! You are correct, Anthony. Hang on. We'll get your information, and we're going to set you up with a pair of sweet tickets to join Steve and Casey Boy, AAA 400 Driver Autism Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race May 6th. And race weekend at Dover International Speedway is May 4th through the 6th. It's 3 days of great racing and so much more, including a pre-race concert with Bret Michaels. Tickets to the AAA 400 Drive for Autism start at just $50 at doverspeedway.com. And Casey picked out some Dockin'. Because I'm wearing my Dockin shirt this morning.
Breaking
the chains. We used to play this in
my band. Really?
Absolutely.
Did you have a drum solo in it?
No. In fact, Mick Brown, the drummer, was a pretty basic drummer. It wasn't exciting stuff to play, but I do like this song.
Breaking the chains around me. Nobody else.
All right. Let's do music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
1 second. Didn't have my fart racked up. Here we go. There you go.
And this morning it's brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Mike Shinoda has unveiled a new song. It's titled About You, along with an accompanying music video. The tune also features producer-rapper Black Bear and will appear on Shinoda's debut solo album, Post Traumatic, which is due out June 15th. Shinoda premiered the track on Apple Music's...
What are you laughing at?
June 15th. June 15th. I can't talk.
15th. You just forgot the second F. I know. 15th.
All right.
June 15th.
Yes, I heard on the radio the tickets go on sale June.
We're so close.
Barn door.
Barn door. Third leg of the stool.
Shinoda premiered the track on Apple Music's Beats 1, where he said that the lyrics were not directly about late Linkin Park singer Chester Bennington. He said, "I was writing all these songs, and a lot of the early stuff on this album was about what had happened, and it was about Chester and all that. Then I started trying to write some songs that weren't about Chester and weren't about that whole thing. And I realized that people would hear them as if they were about him. And I was like, man, even if when I try and make a song, it's not about him, it still feels like it's about him. About You follows the previously released post-traumatic tracks Crossing a Line and Nothing That Makes Sense Anymore. In January, Shinoda shared a three-track EP also titled Post-Traumatic. Muse is going to release a 90-minute concert film called Drones World Tour, and that'll be in theaters across the country for one night only, July 12th. The film captures the British trio performing in multiple cities in 2016, playing a career-spanning set, including Psycho, Madness, Uprising, Supermassive, Black Hole, and more. Now, the band's stage production on the track featured never-before-seen special effects with autonomous drones flying over the audience, giant projections, and intricate LED lasers, creating an incredible audio-visual experience. Any of you guys go to that show?
Marissa saw it.
Yeah, I know Marissa did.
And you said they were sort of like balloon drone hybrids, right?
Yeah, they just filled the stadium and were floating around. It was kind of fun for like my ADD so I could watch them.
All right, so but the graphics and everything were impressive?
Yeah, very much so. And huh. in the rounds concert.
Matt Bellamy said, the symbiosis between humanity and technology has always been something I am interested by.
What the hell are you talking about?
Drones just seem to be a very interesting modern metaphor for what that represents. You want to leave.
Drones is a modern metaphor for the plight of humanity.
He said,
and we got a good deal on drones.
He said, you want to leave.
Yeah, man, I got like a truck full of drones. You want them?
He said, you want to leave people with the idea that they ask the question themselves about the role of technology in our lives and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Oh, that's what all that meant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I think there was only like
pretty flying things.
One incident with a crash. Otherwise, it came off pretty well.
Ghost is inviting fans to a special sermon that will be held on the morning of Monday, April 30th. And that'll be in the Irving Plaza music venue in New York City. The group adds that promptness and ghoulish attire will be welcomed and graciously rewarded.
Ooh, that's scary.
No other information about what the event might entail has been revealed.
They like putting on spectacles.
Yeah, and events outside of the shows. The new Ghost album prequel is due out on June 1st. Of course, they'll be playing the MMRBQ on May 19th, 3 weeks from tomorrow, and they'll open with Rats, most likely.
Rats.
I'll get to that at the end, Case.
Okay.
And Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich and guitarist Kirk Hammett recently visited the European Organization for Nuclear Research, also known as CERN.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, during the band's European tour.
Wow.
Based in Geneva on the Franco-Swiss border, CERN operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world and is also the birthplace of the World Wide Web, which I didn't know that. While there, they spoke about their interest in science in an interview posted online. Hammett said, I was an avid science student. And at one point, I wanted to be an astronaut when I was in elementary school. Well, join the freaking club, didn't
so
everybody?
So did I.
Yeah, just didn't feel like doing the work.
I was into model rocketry. I built rockets. I always maintained my fascination with science and all sorts of science, all sorts of different types of science, from basic physics all the way up to quantum physics. Ulrich added, I grew up with a father who has been very interested in physics and philosophy, very interested in the universe and particles and everything.
Did he bring his dad?
No. He said most of my school.
No, man, I'm not stupid. Old Coop bothers me.
Or maybe he's dead, I don't know.
Most of my schooling came not only from the Danish public school system, but came from hanging out with my dad and staring up into space and the night sky and talking and listening and being around my father, who was very interested in everything about the universe and the history of Big Bangs and black holes. They called CERN amazing. Hammett said it's very, very humbling to know that there's something like this that exists in our world at this time. I would love to go see that.
When I was growing up in Queens, New York, by LaGuardia was the Museum of Science in Preston. They would have the old retro rockets and booster rockets from the Gemini and all the space, you know, Saturn V and stuff like that out there. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was one of the great field trips to go on.
By the way, Kirk did a video congratulating MMR on 50 years.
Really?
Yeah, and the radio station has posted that on Instagram if you want to see that.
In fact, there's
a few of them. Yeah.
Carl Weathers,
yeah.
I saw. Nick Murphy's been cutting them up and doing a great job.
Kevin Smith as well.
Yeah, when you get a chance, take a look at them. And then fans have slowly been wrapping their collective heads around the fact that Fleetwood Mac is heading out on the road once again with without Lindsey Buckingham. And that's for the foreseeable future. And, of course, Mike Campbell, the Heartbreakers, is on board He'll be doing lead guitar duties, and Crowded House frontman Neil Finn is going to be doing rhythm guitar and vocals.
I think that'll work.
Sure.
You know,
but it's not Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
You know, who sang some pretty iconic Fleetwood Mac songs.
He did,
very
yeah.
distinctive, picking guitar style. But the break with Buckingham came when he allegedly insisted, after spending the past 2 years writing, recording, and touring with his first joint album with Christine McVie, that he wanted to hold off on heading back onto the road until 2019. Now, Stevie Nicks told CBS this morning that putting the band on ice for that long was simply unacceptable. He said this team wanted to get out on the road, and one of the members did not want to go out on the road for a year. She said, I have a solo career. I love my solo career, and I'm the boss, absolutely, but I'm not the boss in this band.
So she was saying it had to be a collective decision, and he was bucking the system.
Yep, he wasn't on board. And then, of course, with the MMRBQ, we have a ticket raid that's going on tomorrow. And it's a chance for you to grab some tickets at Rita's Water Ice in Montgomeryville on Horsham Road, 762 Horsham Road, tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. Stop by, because we'll be giving away tickets every 10 minutes.
Nice.
It's a sweet deal. So if you have a chance, go to the Rita's Water Ice between 1 and 3 tomorrow, Horsham Road in Montgomeryville, and you just might win. And this weekend, celebrating MMR's 50th birthday, we have a series of special things going on. We turn 50 officially on Sunday. Pierre will be covering a decade each day this week. He's been doing that during the workforce blocks all this week. So he wraps that up today. Saturday is dedicated all to MM Archives Live. So all those awesome, exclusive performances that we've gotten well before our time,
yes,
are going to be played.
There's some astonishing stuff.
Yeah, and even some ones that happened with us as well. I was listening to one, technically not part of the MM Archives, but I have it on my phone, and it was from our show, and we had Colin Hay.
Yeah.
And he did Overkill from Men at Work. It was so good.
Yeah, I have that in my iTunes as well.
So many great performances have happened from, you know, smaller artists to superstars, you know, to Pete Townsend.
Yes.
And more. So listen up. That happens this weekend, Saturday, actually. And then Sunday, Pierre comes in, and he will be playing MMR's number one song from every year from 2018 to 1968. So make sure that you don't miss the program. This weekend is going to be very special. This happens once in a lifetime, and it is this weekend. Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. Downingtown is our sponsor. And
Downingtown Abbey.
Damn it. From
Barndoor.
Hyundai of Downtown Abbey.
Barndoor.
Mm. Barndoor.
Yeah. All right, anyway, that's what I got in music news for you this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to one of the unsung heroes here at MMR. She is our traffic director, and by that I don't mean what Kathy does in reporting the traffic. She helps make sure that all our copy or everything is organized properly in with our clients, which is insanely important.
The advertising realm, commercial realm.
Yeah, but she's got a charity event she wants to mention. This is the lovely Nicole Ryder.
You guys.
Hello, Nicole. We're
sorry
wonderful.
To bother you. We're...
No problem. What are we playing?
Midnight Rider.
Midnight Rider. Nicole Ryder. Very well done. Okay, what?
So first, I'd like to thank you guys for everything you do in the Philadelphia community. Camp Out, Kathy's Cuts, the Blood Drive. You guys do great. So
thank you.
I'm honored to have the opportunity to talk about this event coming up tomorrow. It's going to be at Connie's Rick Rack. It's 1132 South 9th Street. So what's going on is a feminine hygiene product awareness and donations, and that's
so people in need of feminine, first off, to learn about and to get feminine hygiene products.
Yep, there's gonna be tons of celebration. There's gonna be music, arts, food, and they will be jamming until about 2 a.m. So it starts around 4, it goes till 2.
Okay.
And this is for homeless shelters and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's supported by the Philadelphia Office of Homeless Services.
We've actually have done that. My daughter's softball team did that.
Donate stuff?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Very nice.
So are you looking, people can bring by donations?
You can bring by donations, and if you can't make it, you can also donate to www.youcaring.com/femfreedom. So the event... There's also an event page on Facebook. It's Femme Freedom's fourth annual fundraiser.
So very nice.
You can donate online if you cannot make it.
All right, so people bring by, like, tampons and pads and things like that.
Diapers are huge as well.
Okay. Diapers are huge?
Yeah.
Okay. And for can you donate cash, you know? Or?
Yeah, you can. That will be taken at youcaring.com/femfreedom.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right, so this is tomorrow. Once again, when and where?
Tomorrow, Connie Rick Rack's South 9th Street from 4 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Okay.
Right.
And do you have an appearance there?
I cannot make it, but I did donate online.
Okay, all right, very
And they will be taking donations up until June 1st.
Okay.
Okay.
That's nice. And we'll put that, that information is already up on PrestonandSteve.com.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for helping me get the word.
No problem.
Yeah, really
Midnight Rider.
It.
There she is.
Yeah, she's a low rider.
Oh, she's a low rider. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That is Nicole Ryder. Let's hear it. She did great. First time on our show. And she's awesome. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Letter of the day for Word of the Week prize. That's on the way. And we'll see what all Pierre's got cooked up for you this fine Friday. Be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It is 10:28, Preston and Steve show. Today is a Friday. I'm sorry, I'm salivating. Sorry. I had a piece of the sheet cake that the fanatic brought to us.
Casey, it's good.
Casey fed me a piece.
Oh, that's beautiful. Did you do the wedding thing?
No, I didn't do that, but I had a lot of slobber on my tongue when I ate it on purpose. Yeah. And just to kind of gross him out, because he licked it off.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
It was very special.
Mm. You guys share a bond.
You know what I want to do real quick, a giveaway before I go into the thank yous and all that stuff, because the Rec Room in Conshohocken, or by Conshohocken Brewing Company, is here, and they brought a bunch of great food, and I have one...
Sensational food.
One last $50 gift card. First caller, you get it. I never do first caller.
No.
Oh,
let's
don't.
Do first caller, 215-263-WMMR, and you can visit the Rec Room by Conshohocken Brewing Company for Sunday Fun Day. Special brunch food features bottomless beer mimosa... Beer mosas. What's a beer mosa?
What's a beer mosa?
You guys know?
They don't know.
Chelsea, beer and champagne.
Beer and champagne. Okay, beer mosas. All right, bottomless beer mosas. And Bloody Marys till 3 p.m. Oh, my God, that sounds dangerous.
I'm going to kill you.
Sunday fun day.
It's a Sunday fun day. Look, I'm in the Bengals.
It's just another Sunday fun day.
My little water on Jay.
For events, food specials, and beer releases, follow them on social media and bring a designated driver to Sunday Fun Day. That'll be a damn good time.
Absolutely. But the food, as you said, is terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, they brought the Ahu.
The Yahoo.
They brought the Yahoo.
Ahi?
Ahi tuna.
Yahoo tuna, guys!
Yahoo tuna.
Hey, Chewy, some good seafood.
Oh, dear God. All right. Yahoo.
Oh.
Is, actually, it's, Ahi tuna salad. And the mini bistro sandwiches and the guac is really good. So thank you, guys. We appreciate you coming by here this morning. Here's my last prize sheet. There you go. Thank you, Christy. All right. Thank you to J.P. Sears, who was on the show. Interesting guy. Very, very funny. And he has his own style.
He's like, I was kind of worried before the deal because he's known more for his YouTube stuff. Yeah. But he does have a history of performing, and he was very funny.
He'll be at the Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Thanks to the Philly Fanatic.
Yay!
And John Brazier for being here. The Fanatic's birthday is on Sunday, as is WMMR's, and he turns 40. We turn 50. They're going to have a great time. Special stuff for kids. They have these bucket hats they're going to be handing out.
They're really nice.
Playing the Braves on Sunday at 1:35. And thank you to Brian Taft from 6ABC. Yeah. Bill Cosby guilty on all counts, and so we had a little, they've been covering it extensively, as you would imagine. We wanted to get Brian's take from a news person's point of view, and it was cool to have him in this morning, so thank you to him. Pierre Robert is indeed here. Hey, man.
No, that's James Bond over there.
Oh.
Look at you all dapper.
I have an appearance tonight, which I'll get to in a minute, but comedic moment of the day on the show.
Robert. Pierre Robert.
Okay. So, all right. Fair enough. The comedic moment of the show came from you, Preston, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tuned in as I'm hearing about deportations, alien abductions, and saving from cults. And I go, oh, this is an interesting guy they get on. And I'm listening for a while. And then Preston goes,
And JP's a comedian, by the way. And I'm going, oh.
We had traveled down a pretty serious path. And I
cult rescue and such. And I'm going, this is an interesting fellow they found. And then there's a pause, and then Preston goes, he's a comedian.
Yeah, I remind people that he was performing at a comedy club.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we get him in here because we'll just talk. Yeah. And, you know.
Well, most of the comedians that you get in, which is one of the pleasures of listening to them, are not doing their act.
Right. No, we don't want that.
Which is fun, you know, and you discover the humor that is innate within them anyway. You know, if you tuned in towards the end of it, I'm going, oh, interesting. So this guy goes and saves people from religious cults and other things.
He's a deprogrammer.
Deprogrammer, and he goes in and helps people that are taken by Satan and other such things and whatever. And I'm going, well, they always get the most interesting guests. Pause. Oh, he's a comedian.
He's a comedian, yeah. By the way. Well, thank you, Pierre. I'm glad you got a kick out of that.
I got a great guffaw from that.
Cool, hey, brother.
Yes.
Is he still standing behind me?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Weston is standing behind Casey. And you can feel the eyes upon you, can't you?
Why is he still here?
I don't know.
Well, he doesn't. There's only three legs on his stool. And he needs a fourth, and he's asking you to bring it.
I feel like he wants to say something.
No, he's hanging. We're going to talk about the birthday.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll get him on
because Bill should be here for that.
It's a big deal this weekend. First, let's do the letter of the day because we got a prize to give away. All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
K is in special K.
All right, and that's the last one, so we'll take caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. And if you know the word, then you can win the prize. But you got to be caller number 14, first of all. All right, let's officially welcome him over to the microphone.
Ooh,
then.
Okay.
Man About Town, Bill Weston.
Yay.
Where's
that music?
Where's his theme music? There we go.
Love that music.
There it is.
Yeah, the fanatic
was in here with the headphones, and he's torn them apart.
So. Okay. Galapagonian earwax.
Thank you. There we go. All right.
Pierre technically fixed something.
Well, yeah, he did, bet. The headphones.
There we go.
Call me.
What are you doing in here? Just hanging out?
Just hanging out. Oh, okay. I told Casey, I was like, I'm just kind of vibing off the energy of the show and the programming, and
we're going to talk about, though, this weekend and your thing, and it's only right that you should be here to talk about the festivities of the 50th birthday of WMMR.
Pierre's doing all the work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's weird because when you talk about 50 years, you know, I can't help but feel like a blip. You know what I mean? First of all, because I'm not Preston or Steve. I'm just the producer of the show. But also,
you're an essential part.
But I've only been here for 13 years, which doesn't seem like that many in the grand scheme of 50. But when you take all of the chunks of that 50 years, it's like, okay, no, you know, I've been here for 20% of that.
Been here.
And a lot of the press that I've been doing, we've gotten some national press, which I love for our station and our city. And, you know, the fact that we've been surviving for so long. I really made it a point to mention previous program directors like Charlie Kendall, George Harris, Joe Bonada, all the people that came before me, because I've only been here for 14 years, right? And there's all of that because, yeah, we kind of came in and we're the current residents, curators of the brand, but it's everybody, all the morning shows, disc jockeys, everybody.
It's the whole collective, and to go over decades and be which is a big anomaly in this industry, to have a rock station that remains playing new and old and cool stuff. That's what makes it. Every interview we've had recently, Preston, we are legitimately proud to be associated with WMMR.
No question.
Another bullet point that I put in those interviews is that Pierre Robert has been here for all but 13 of those 50 years.
Yes.
Right? Really? Right? 37 years here?
36.
Right? Okay. So all but 14 years of this station's history, this guy's been in the chair on the air.
Wow. Pretty amazing, too. That's amazing.
But there was great history well before me. You know, you guys talked about the archives and how far back they go. Bill found one from 1971, which we played, I think, last week, the Flying Burrito Brothers, which is awesome. But, you know, and we think that might be the oldest one. The thing about the archival process of a place like this is no one thought it was going to last. So no one thought to save
things. They didn't save anything.
You know, so, you know,
Why waste the time?
You know, we had great recordings. We had incredible artwork. We had, you know, tchotchkes that we'd give away over the years. I think because we're going to do 1968 to 1978, I think I have a listener coming by today who won a record from us. I think it was a Moody Blues album. And in those days, you had to write a card to get it and then I think we'd mail it to you. And he still has the record. And I think he's going to come by today.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So as a child growing up here in the Philadelphia area, Delco, I listened to WMMR growing up. And WMMR is the only radio station that I listened to growing up that actually still is around.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think about it. And that, so this Sunday, as I asked before, you think you're going to get a little emotional on air?
It's very possible because, I mean, it's...
I want you to pull out blubber.
Sobbing.
I want you to be inconsolable.
Okay. I'll work on that.
No, it's a milestone.
It is a milestone, and it's to be celebrated. And, you know, credit to Bill and Chuck and our promotions department and Kevin Gunn and Sarah, who've worked very hard to find all these details, some of which, you know, have been lost through the ages.
We researched the most played songs of each year, right?
Yeah.
I know Pierre will get very emotional when he plays that Nickelback song from, like, 1998, right?
That crushed me.
It was the most played song in MMR, whatever year it was. But so each year we researched what were the most played songs, and those will be our kind of... run through the past on Sunday. Should be really cool.
Nice. And we start with 2018 and go down.
Yeah. Actually, it's 2017 because we're not done with this year. Some people were confused. We got 50 songs. Pierre, hopefully, will finish them by sunset.
And then tomorrow is, those are the MM archives.
Yes.
They're going to be featured all throughout the day, right?
Will they be like every hour or
Yeah, we're going to do like a block of three.
Oh, wow.
At the top of every hour.
That's
so these
cool.
songs you've been featuring every day at 1:30.
Right.
We're going to put those, all of them will be on the air on Saturday.
You're going to hear some incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tune in.
Will that start tonight at technically midnight or will that start in the morning? Or
I believe midnight.
Okay. Because that technically is the beginning of the weekend.
That is Saturday. Mm-hmm.
And can
that's
I have
why
some
I'm
ice cream?
In IT. That's why.
Nice.
That's going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun.
Before we find out what's coming up on your program today, Pierre, let me and Bill stick around too. Let me go to Matt, who is caller number 14. Hey, Matt, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, Matt. We need to know what the word of the week is, please.
The truck.
Great day in the morning. Yeah.
That, sir, is correct. Hang on the line, Matt. We are going to get your information, and we are going to set you up, my friend. Hot Seat VIP Experience Monster Jam 2018, May 5th. The link, including four front row tickets, behind-the-scenes tour, four party pit passes, Monster Jam merchandise, more. Monster Jam is the most action-packed live event on four wheels with some of the most recognizable trucks in the world, including Gravedigger, Max D, and Son of Digger. And for tickets and information, go to monsterjam.com. Great day in the morning.
Yes.
Did you first utter that here at MMR?
Yes.
And do you remember what the circumstance was?
Not a clue.
Okay.
I think I saw it on a Kellogg's box when I was a kid.
Okay.
Kellogg's
Have a great
cereal,
day in the morning.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Before we go further, Kathy, I don't know if you found anything on traffic, but there's a horrible traffic jam from Bala Cynwyd going towards King of Prussia on 76. And I heard sirens and things. So
there
it
was
me...
an accident, but it's not there anymore.
Okay.
But there is an overturned tractor trailer on 95.
Okay.
Only the right lane squeezing by at Bridge Street. But that accident that you were talking about is gone off of the Schuylkill, and that was right at Conshohocken.
There's still, though, delayed reaction to it.
Yeah.
So avoid
it. Anytime anything happens on the Schuylkill, forget it. The delay will be there for the rest of the afternoon because of something that happened at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Before I forgot it, I just wanted to mention that.
Well, that's live and local right there, my man.
Yeah.
It is live and local.
What MMR is all about.
That's right.
What's on the show today? Hey, I've been doing it all morning, dude.
No.
It was 50 years ago today when we first signed on.
Oh, Kevin, come in. Come here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Gunn.
I told you I would tell you one of the great stories. I told you I would bring Kevin in to tell you one of the great stories of history. There's so many moments, but... imagine we're down on Rittenhouse Square. This is the Tiersen bag story. So we're down on Rittenhouse Square.
That's your music, by the way, Kevin.
Wow, I didn't know I had music.
Yeah.
That's
Bubba John did the evening show from 6 to 10, and a very colorful character in his own right, and I believe he was entertaining a young lady that night. He would order drinks from the bar around the corner, and they would deliver them on a tray to the radio station.
That's very cool. Is something we need to bring back.
Yes. Manja doesn't have alcohol at this moment. And then 6 to 10 was Bubba, and then 10 to 2 in the evening was Michael Tierson. And Michael came in one evening, and if you'd pick it up from there, Kevin.
So Bubba John was entertaining a very fetching young fan at the time, and so it was a beautiful summer night, and all the windows in the 19th and Walnut studio opened, so you could hear down below, you could hear the cars and everything. And so Michael comes into the studio, and on his shoulder is a leather satchel filled with record albums. And he kind of comes in and does a suave little thing, and he looks at Bubba's guest, and he takes the leather pouch, and he flings it towards a chair in the corner, but the chair's in front of an open window. And it hits the top of the chair and flies out the window and drops three stories down to 19th Street. And we're all frozen there with this look on our face like, did you see what just happened?
Yeah.
And Tierson, without missing a beat, goes, I got to go get that.
And that's the way it was in that day. Jocks would bring in their stack of records that they would have planned out for the show, and there went Michael's entire program out the window.
They just put up the view behind you was our view from Rittenhouse Square, because we looked right out onto the park. So you'd see business people in there. You'd see, you know, students. You'd see hangers out. And in that square also occasionally could be found records growing from trees, couldn't they?
Yes. That window that looked out over Walnut Street and across the street was the square. Yeah. And, excuse me, the aforementioned great guy, Bubba John Stevens, hated this song that we played by Gary U.S. Bonds called This Little Girl Is Mine.
Yeah, I remember it. Yep.
Hated it. Our job was to restock, you know, put new music into the studio when, you know, records came out. So, excuse me, every day, Bubba John would scratch off on the log, This Little Girl Is Mine. I didn't play it. It wasn't in the studio. So we didn't know what the hell was happening, but Charlie Kendall, our program director at the time, was getting a little upset. So Charlie and I go out for a cigarette one day in the square, and it was a winter's day, and the sun was really low, and I notice in a bush there's this reflection, and I walk over, and sure enough, it was a copy of Gary U.S. Bond's This Little Girl Is Mine. Bubba was frisbeeing him out the window overnight over Walnut Street into the square, and that's what happened. That ends the mystery of that.
How many ended up over there, do you think?
Three.
Several,
yeah. Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Couldn't find the record.
Wow. Two of many moments.
Wow.
But that there, you know, but you guys are an absolutely vital part of it to bring it back to now. You guys have been here since 2005.
I only hope that Kevin Gunn will tell stories of our show someday.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well,
our MMR historian.
It was
a
Kat?
Goddamn nightmare.
I got several stories.
Nice,
so, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of energy. And, you know, Bill has, to his credit, grabbed that vibe and continued on with it. And, you know, and on we go.
For the last week, I've been going through stacks of clippings and magazine articles and coverage that have occurred in my time.
Yes.
And when you talk about stories, you know, with Tierson and Bubba John, there was a newspaper coverage for The Horse in the Studio, mm-hmm. Marbles Down the Steps.
Marbles Down the Steps.
The Haunted Hayride out in front
haunted
of the
Haunted Horror
Fire
Ride.
Executives.
Yeah,
horror ride. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Haunted Horror Ride. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's a lot that have occurred in our recent term that you have been responsible for. And that was a blast, too. I don't know what to do with all that stuff. But we've kept it.
It's very cool. And all of it, you know, obviously we have this coming up and then the concert, and it just continues.
Yep. It really does.
I've been working with Robin, and we're going to, on Monday, reveal a gallery at WMR.com with a ton of old classic photos of jocks and appearances, studio shots.
Celebs.
Celebrities. So, that should be after the big Sunday Spectacular with Pierre wrapping up at 9 p.m.
love it.
No, we've told Marcus at 8 o'clock, Marcus hopefully will be on the air by 8 o'clock, that you'll be finished, that at 8 p.m., which is actually the hour, I think, that Herman started this, we'll replay Flying and kind of tip our hat to the whole
first song ever played on MMR. That's great. Listen, we got to move along quickly. You got to get your MMR birthday bucks thing here at 8 o'clock. So
all right.
We need to...
11 o'clock.
Or 11 o'clock, I'm sorry. We do ours at 8. Anything else you want to hit about today's program?
Yes, I will be out tonight at the Kimmel Center from 6 to 8 prior to the Philly Pops taking the stage, doing all kinds of legendary tributes to Beatles, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin. You conducted the Philly Pops.
I did.
And that was awesome. I will not be conducting, but I will be in the lobby prior to them taking the stage, talking about that music. And they have a little area set up where people can hang out and ask questions. And so I'll be there 6 to 8, Kimmel Center. It's a magnificent building in and of itself. It's so beautiful there.
Cool.
So come out and see us tonight and fiddle around.
Nice. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. The President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And powered by DHY Motorsports. Get month-end savings now through April 30th. Next week on our program, Jason Reitman will be in our studio.
Yes!
Jake Tapper will get in touch
with
us. And
cool.
Comedian Ralph Harris will be in our studio. And I know we have a bunch of other things going on.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Very quick. Today's decade will be 78 to 68, starting at noon. 1978 to 1968.
Excellent. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, everybody. Yay! Thank you. We'll see you later, guys. Bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Who puts a sign on the back of their car that says, the closer you get, the slower I go? Are you kidding me? I'm going to smoke this dude.
Next message.
I just got out of Team Infinity War. Holy f***, that is going to live with me probably for a long time. I will see it again and again. I somehow wrote myself into 50 viewings of the show over the weekend.
Next message.
Woke up late because I had to go to work a hour early, but my wife got me up, got me out the door, coffee and medicated, and now I'm a better person until I found the ring. The older I get, the more I hate you, ring.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.